What's poppin'? It's the Drew and Mike Show for Wednesday. A little flip-flop as Maz had to be here to facilitate the Steve Lukather interview tomorrow. So
he has a lot invested in that Toto versus Muse.
He does.
Yeah. Feud that's been going on.
Toto versus everybody.
Is that feud still going on?
I think it petered out, but...
Depends who you ask.
Lives in infamy. So, yeah, just a slight change. Steve Lukather tomorrow. That's exciting. And Sminty in about 45 minutes. John Smintek, who we haven't talked to since Mike died. Sminty certainly has. Well, media-wise, I'm not sure if anybody had more contact with Mike than John Smintek. And, I miss the media reporters in the paper.
Yeah.
I did, too.
Because yeah. Bob Talbert used to write about, not that I always liked what he wrote, but he wrote a lot. And John wrote a lot.
B.J. Hammerstein.
B.J. Hammerstein. Where'd B.J. go? What happened to him?
I don't know where he is. I haven't heard from him in ages. Good guy.
I don't think he's around anymore.
You know, I checked his Twitter a while ago, and I think he's...
Around meaning alive or in the
Okay. In the area.
I think he is around.
Oh, he is?
I just don't know what he's doing.
Why would he be writing for something? Huh.
I don't know. It's all very upsetting and
nobody
confusing.
Nobody will pay him. Or anybody. Well, or anyone.
Right.
Yeah, and it seems that they eliminated the position, whether it was him leaving and them not replacing him or whatever, but like so many things in media.
Hey, will we get the USA Today tomorrow?
That's one thing you can still count on is USA Today. I remember, though, about 10 years ago when multiple people said,
in 2 years, there'll be three newspapers. USA Today Today, The Wall Street Journal, and The New York Times. Everything else will be gone.
Mm-hmm. Because things were so bad.
The internet.
But somehow, I don't know, it's fun. I wonder how long the actual newspaper will be at 7-Eleven and various gas stations.
I love that it's there, though. I mean, it's great to see the newspaper in the stand. You never see it in anybody's driveway,
I can't
though.
Tell you the last time I bought a newspaper, a real one.
I just like the newspaper. I don't like it as much as I used to because the box scores are never in there the day after games.
Yeah, because you can get them online.
I remember my first day on the job.
Hey there, the net.
In Toledo, my first radio gig, stopping in White Castle to meet Jane Perry, who was my sort of, I was crossing over with her. And the first thing we did was buy a free press out of the box and then went across the street to the radio station and I was launched into broadcasting. Huh. So the free press figured.
Launched you?
It sort of figured in the sort of getting the feel of the new job.
Getting the paper in the morning was pretty critical to the morning show.
Oh, my God. There were so many battles over it.
Yeah, there were.
Steal it.
There were always strange places. Many strange places I went to get the newspaper, or which you'd learn eventually the route that the truck took to drop off the newspapers and who got it first. But enough about old people and old ways. What about today? Well,
we heard all about it on the radio.
Today's a weird day because the election's today, so there's really nothing to say because there's no results. So,
well, I have some early results. You ready? Some early returns.
Oh, we have a partial score.
I've received 3 votes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Why didn't you campaign harder?
I don't know. I should have started a campaign. I went to vote today, and I'm filling it out, and I got to the judge who got the DUI.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember her last name, Julie.
Probably helped her get votes.
You know what? It probably did. But she's running unopposed. So most of those where it's like, pick 3 judges and there's 3 listed. It's like, I'm not going to fucking waste my time filling this in. So I got to her and I'm like, I don't want to vote for her. I'm going to get on a high horse. And so I wrote my own name, which is ludicrous. And then Jim told me he did the same thing when he went to vote. He wrote my name in.
Wow.
And then seems like there's a groundswell.
I know. I got at least 2 for judge. And then unsolicited Matt Jennings sent me an email saying, hey, I voted for you. And I said, for what? And he said, U of M Regent.
Oh.
1 vote for U of M Regent, 3 to be a
That's
judge.
Probably a good job, U of M Regent.
Oh, it's my dream job.
What does that pay?
I've said that before.
What does that job pay? It probably pays a lot,
a
right?
A lot. Yeah. And you sit on a board like once a month.
Oh.
I mean, like,
and you run the
job.
University.
6 figures, right?
I don't know. Let's
find out. This could be a more important groundswell than we think.
Moreover, there are people at the election commission going, "Who is this Mark Fallhauer?"
I know. You got three votes.
You went to the school. You're part of, you know, you listen to Miss Cabbage. You suppress people where you're supposed to.
No, I'd be in charge of them.
That's true. You would be a Miss Cabbage-like figure.
They have more power than even the president.
Oh, my.
Ooh. And then there was a very bossy lady running the part where you feed your ballot into the ballot machine. She's very bossy. She yelled at me and the guy in front of me.
How do you power trip over such an incremental leadership gig?
I'm stunned at where people find power is amazing and how people like to flex their powerful muscles.
No matter how small the power is, and it just went straight to her head.
And the power people fight over, too, is absolutely amazing. But, you know what I really wanted to mention? Because I just heard this right before the show, and I don't know why it amused me and made me so happy. Alec Baldwin's talk show on ABC was the lowest rated show of the week. Now, I remember reading about the first episode, and the headline was that Telemundo had beaten it, and Telemundo doesn't beat much. Between him being accused of punching someone for entertainment clickbait and having the lowest rated TV show, he's not having a good week. Yeah, I was thinking about this too, as far as this whole fight over the parking space. He's a lot more like Trump than he could ever stand to admit.
Oh, yeah.
He is. He's a hothead. He fights anyone who wants to fight him. He fights them. He starts fights.
I don't think Trump's ever punched somebody or
remember, he fought CNN.
Oh, that's right. He body slammed him outside the ring. That was pretty sweet.
That's true.
The logo.
That was funny.
Which he retweeted.
No, in real life, Trump really hasn't had any physical altercations that I can think of.
Not with his tiny hands.
Baldwin is an even hotter head than Trump.
Wow.
But I think they're a lot more alike than either one of them could bear to imagine.
He had a 0.3 rating.
Now, is Trump going to talk about these low ratings? Because
I'm shocked he hasn't mentioned it.
I'm kind of surprised, too.
They asked him when he was walking to the chopper! They asked him about Baldwin, and he just said, "I wish him luck," with a little gleam in his eye.
Hi. Yeah, that was actually funny. I thought, you know, Trump doesn't very often say the right thing, but I thought that was, for him, that was pretty, I don't know, restrained, clever.
He's really soft on Alec Baldwin. I really thought he would shovel it on a lot more.
It was soft. That doesn't mean something harsher isn't coming down the road. But if that's all he says about it, I would grade him an A-, because he had that smart-ass face on. So you knew how he felt, but I wish him luck. It was probably not a terrible thing to say.
Oh, yeah.
Which, not terrible, is pretty good for him.
Boy, the bar's low if that's what gets him an A-.
I said for him.
I know. That's pretty hilarious.
Saying something not terrible. I mean, honestly, the way things are,
congratulations,
you would expect,
Mr. President. You said something not terrible.
I just would expect him to be a much bigger dick about it, and I'm not sure that he won't say something worse.
Looks like a nice little guy, actually.
But anyway,
so yeah,
that's really interesting, though, that show is so low rate. The real reason it makes me happy is not because I hate Alec Baldwin all the time. I think he's a great actor and all that. I hate how cocky he is about his ability as a broadcaster. And also, he's such a snob. Mm-hmm. And he always tries to use big words and act like he...
Great guy.
...can talk, out-talk anyone or out-express anyone. And the truth is, he's a big, fat snob. And I think
I'd love to watch that guy speak.
Why is he trying to hold a parking space on the streets?
Yeah.
First of all, shouldn't he have someone drive him places?
Well, he did.
He's Alec effing Baldwin.
He did have a car service the other day. That was part of the low rating story.
Yeah. And then don't you have like a parking space somewhere?
Trudy, it's so ridiculous. And the fact that he would fight someone over a parking space is just amazing. The guy was putting money in the meter, I guess, when he went up and shoved him. And the guy shoved him back. And it sounds like he'll get off the hook, but it's just so dumb.
Can you imagine being that guy?
What do you want to do, huh?
I'm being attacked by Alec Baldwin.
No, it's really weird, but a lot of people know what that feels like.
That's true.
I mean, he really, it's funny to me that he would have you believe that he's right in these disputes. I mean, eventually, and I think he will probably suggest it, and he already has, that he didn't punch him, and it's entertainment clickbait.
You better shut your mouth before I shut it for you.
And I suspect that he will not be, the charges will be dropped, and he will say, aha, see, the charges were dropped. It was entertainment clickbait. And as far as the parking space, that it was his space, and the guy took it.
But most importantly, 0.3 rating. It was the lowest primetime program on all four broadcast networks. Oof. Sunday night. He did match the CW's Charmed. They also had a 0.3.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But he was
sorry.
Beat by Supergirl, which was a 0.4.
I'm beaten by girls.
Most unfortunate. Most unfortunate. Okay. There's some other celebrity news today. It was kind of a weird...
They all voted, first of all.
Yeah, they're just like
all
us.
Voted, and they all told us to vote, and we all took their advice and voted. Everyone is voting because celebrities tell them to vote. I love that piece.
I was talking to someone today, and I said, you know what? I almost don't want to vote because I'm being told to vote.
Well, it's really condescending of celebrities to tell you to vote. Like, they know better. Well, yeah, of anybody. It is, of anybody.
I
think
you
learn it in civics class or in government class that you're supposed to vote, and it's said enough times that we really don't need Amy Schumer telling us to vote.
I really hate it.
I'll vote with you. Let's go together.
I hate it when people say, you can't complain if you don't vote. It's like, no, I can actually complain more because there was nobody worth voting for.
Yeah, sure.
That's why I don't want to vote.
I got to tell you, anyone who looks to a politician for any sort of guidance, I really worry about them. There's no politician. They're all bought and sold. It's all about power. I don't even understand.
It's political bullshit.
Why do we still believe that they may be better in some way?
I don't know.
The rest of us.
It blows my mind that anyone really puts a lot of belief in the left or the right or anyone of either side. But I guess I'm a little more cynical than most.
I was trying to explain to a four-year-old today what voting is, because as we were driving, she wanted to know why all those signs were in front of her school, and I was explaining, well, today is election day, it's where we go pick the people that we want to make the rules, and I'm explaining, and she goes, they put
what
all
rules?
She goes, they put all the fairies away at the zoo. I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're on to a different topic. It's like, what? What kind of transition is that, lady?
It's pretty dreamweaver. Voting is pretty dreamweaver.
I know, but I felt like I'm trying to do a good explanation for a four-year-old, something that maybe she would understand, and then she told me all the fairies are being put away at the zoo.
That's so much more important.
Which is a thing, I guess.
I'm on Team Charlotte on this one.
Oh, you're mad that they put the fairies away?
No, just in terms of changing the subject.
Yeah. But one more thing. Why did Oprah go to tell people to vote who obviously were going to vote the way Oprah voted?
Of course.
Oh, Oprah needed to go to people that, you know, like some...
That have no interest
in redneck community.
Did she go door-to-door like Amy Schumer?
She did. You didn't see the video?
I didn't see the video.
Oh, God.
Oh, I saw the video. Yeah, the woman that went apeshit one chance at the door. I thought she meant she went
He's
today.
He's in the building!
But that woman was already going to vote.
Me too.
The way Oprah wanted her to vote.
She
didn't need Oprah.
Oprah's binge.
She needed to go someplace where people look like, you know, they might need convincing.
I watched the story this morning about, was it Stacey Adams running in Georgia?
Yeah.
And of course, Oprah, it's not because she's black. Oprah says she's the best person. And I'm sure that has nothing to do with it in terms of her being black. I believe her 100%. But ABC, I think it was ABC this morning, or it might have been the Today Show.
I was very happy when her talk show failed.
Did a story on... it was on the other guy she's running against. And I mean to tell you, this story suggests that he is the most horrible person possibly ever.
Yeah.
And Stacey Adams was there for the interview, and he wasn't available. So it was really, it appeared a bit one-sided. But I don't know. He may be the worst person ever.
He has had seven times the court has shot down some of his voting rules because he's Secretary of State there.
Yeah.
Seven times the courts have said, no.
Well, I think Jimmy Carter even spoke out against him, which is...
Jimmy
Carter says something that says something. I don't know what. It's Jimmy Carter's home state.
I like Jimmy Carter.
I love Jimmy Carter. I love Jimmy Carter.
I don't remember... You know, obviously, I don't remember him as a president.
Well, if I was going to put my faith in one person who's in politics, he's a pretty good choice.
Yeah.
He was one of the worst presidents ever, ironically. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of shitty stuff going on then, so I think there's a lot of luck involved.
Yeah, I mean, his post-presidency actually revealed a lot about his character.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
No, I agree!
He's a great guy.
Thanks, Obama.
He was, I believe he's How old is Jimmy Carter? Can you tell me because I want to be correct?
105.
I'd like to be correct when I make the following statement.
80.
Well, it's your dad. He's 90.
He's
90 something. Right?
He's close to my dad. That's
93?
What I was. No, he's more than that, I think.
He is 104. 94.
94?
Yeah.
I think my dad's numbers are off. I thought my dad said he was. My dad's age stopped, but if it was still going. What a ridiculous equation
this
is.
That's a really funny comment.
I know. I think Jimmy Carter, my dad, thought he was 3 years behind him, but he was probably 4 years behind him. And I think he was.
I wish I had a father.
I can relate, darling. He was number one in his class at the Naval Academy.
Yeah.
I think that's what my dad said. That's
my dad.
I think he said it a long time ago, too, so it's probably pretty accurate. But, so major celebrity news coming up. Sminty in 35 minutes. We all know the best way to support the Drew and Mike podcast is support our loyal sponsors, our studio sponsor, and good friends, DealsInAD.com, and the entire Zot Auto Group. Want to give you a couple more reasons to support our sponsors while supporting the show. Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, Zot Toyota. We don't hear about, we do hear about all these. Not so much Zot Toyota, but they make buying. If you're going to buy a Toyota, please get it from Zot or give them a chance. They make buying or leasing your next newer pre-owned car, truck, or SUV fun, exciting, and hassle-free. Plus, they have massive inventories full of the hottest models, and they're all ready for immediate delivery. Zot Auto has the lowest prices, lowest payments, and best interest rates. Claire Dave, period. So head to any of the Zot dealerships, pick your next vehicle, have fun doing it. Also, don't forget to tell them that Drew, Mark, Trudy, Maz, Brandon, all of us, or any of us, or one of us, sent you. Finally, if you're too fat and lazy to get off the couch, head over to DealsInAD.com and surf their sensational deals and massive inventory right now. As that site, DealsInAD.com, will give you much information in terms of model and price. So, Dr. Roche, just got a check from Dr. Roche today. Again, put something on my charge card, too. I got a BBL when I was over there today. Got zapped, and somebody was in there from the podcast too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and
That's cool.
You know,
what are they getting done? Can you say?
I never get names. Because,
is that patient confidentiality?
Well, yeah, HIPAA's involved, so he would never say
for you.
Joe Blow was in here, and he wants to get, but he did say he had just talked to somebody who was trying to get a tattoo removed.
Oh.
So, I want to hear more about that.
And there was someone else in too from the podcast who wanted, I think it was fat transfer. To their face. And he was telling me today that fat transfer and body tight. It is the year of body tight, and it's also the year of fat transfer. There's a lot of people who are really, and the pictures are amazing. If you go to www.droche, people get fat injected in their face, and it really gives you that puffy, more youthful appearance. The wrinkles disappear. And fresh-faced look.
Boobs, too, if you want them, you can have fat transferred into, and you can have a natural breast augmentation.
And they have done body tight, but I think it's called breast tight.
Breast tight?
Yeah. It's the same thing as body tight, the same principle. The skin is shrunk, more or less. It's, you know, how you get, it stretches out and those terrible things that happen. But they...
flabs around.
I'm trying to remember the number he gave me that this woman's boobs went up. A certain number of centimeters. It was significant.
Yeah. I saw those pictures. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And it happens kind of over a period of time. So can you imagine? It's sort of like time reversed.
Right.
Where they go from down here to, and they.
Yeah, she was very
reversing
happy.
The VCR.
So there you go. They're just doing a lot of things that a lot of people want because, boy, so many things go wrong. So many things.
Well, yeah. Life.
Yep, life and age, it's a bitch. So why don't you call for a consult, 248-338-1110. Of course, they're doing an HD liposuction, too, which, God, I was really kind of skeptical about this whole, you know, putting fat in your ass, women wanting these bigger asses. But when they take it out of your hips and they do that, it really, what an effect that has, that HD lipo. So there. And a lot of people in the lobby, too. They seem pretty busy to me.
Yeah,
they definitely seem busy.
Yeah.
They must be doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
And the celebrity news I was going to mention was that Brad Pitt, who yesterday is declared hotter than ever, we broke into the show.
Scalding.
Yeah, that was breaking news. He's Angelina.
I think it is.
It is. It was.
Because he's been so downtrodden, and I felt really bad for him. I thought he was really cooked, like he was over.
He did seem kind of over.
He did.
I think this is going to be really good for him because they... cannot come to terms on their child custody arrangement. And Brad Pitt, okay, they're going to court. They're going to have a trial over the custody of those kids. Now, that tells you how much money they have and how serious this is. She wants him to have no custody.
Why?
And he wants 50-50. I think she wants him to be supervised and so on and so forth. So she's the bad guy from day one, and I'm not surprised. And he, I think, has won judgments previously saying, there's really no reason this guy shouldn't have custody. You mean to tell me he is that bad a person and a father, Brad Pitt?
No.
He doesn't deserve custody of his kids?
Possible. He seems like he's been the father of the year. He had a troop of how many children?
Six kids.
Why don't they just have their nannies go to court and decide who should watch them? Because isn't that really who's going to watch these kids?
Yeah, well, her brother, too, would have to be in court.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, he's
lived with them for a while. I would imagine Brad Pitt very much regrets marrying her.
You think?
She seems like a giant fucker.
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
Big pain in the ass. And they're fighting over all their assets, too.
Oh, boy.
They have no prenup.
Really?
And she is the one claiming that he is not doing his part. So it's the attack is Brad Pitt is either one of the worst people in the world, or she is.
Yeah, I know who I
think
is.
What's in the fucking box?
Wouldn't it be interesting to have a poll on that?
Yes.
Do a Twitter poll.
Let's do a Twitter poll.
Okay.
Who is the worst person, Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie?
Or Maddox.
Maddox is the outlier, but
Maddox will get the votes.
He really caused all of it.
What's in the box?
That's Brad going through their stuff.
What's in the box?
He gets Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
I bet he wishes he wants to do a remake now.
So
with her head,
seven
instead of Gwyneth's head, but Angelina's. While he's in court, can he just stay for all the stuff in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, why not? That's true. I wonder if she'll use that against him.
Probably.
Anyway.
He should use her dramatic weight loss and psychological.
Yeah,
issues.
She weighs, I think, 62 pounds or something last time it was in the tabloids.
Not stable.
Something really
I'm
low.
So in love with my brother right now.
her view of this is that he is not a stable parent, and he claims that she is poisoning the kids. And saying horrible things about him.
That's great for their
They're
kids.
They're not true, yeah. And that's not uncommon. It just so happens that these two people have huge resources, so therefore it's going to get really shitty.
Nothing can replace Brad.
So will they give back the children that they stole from whoever they stole them from
in
whatever country?
Yeah, like Maddox wants to go back to Cambodia.
Cambodia.
Remember when she made them go visit each one of their countries?
She does.
They don't want to do that.
They hate it. No, they totally hate it. They're totally bored. It's one big dream weaver.
I mean, could you imagine your parents taking you back to like your childhood home against your will just to see like, this is where you're from? Like, that would be a bummer, even though it's just a regular house.
Mine did.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
I think my dad used to virtually visit every place he's lived.
Really?
At one point or another.
Make you go?
No, I was not party to that, but I believe other siblings were, and I don't think they totally hated it. Maybe they're just being nice, but
I took Charlotte by the house in Royal Oak we used to live in. She couldn't care.
Well, it's really close. Yeah, she won't care. She
no,
at some point
does not
she might.
Care. I mean, still worried about those fairies at the zoo.
So she changes the subject.
She's got passion.
Your kids are soft.
So, let's see. Then there's Ben Affleck, he's worried about a porno getting out.
Oh, yeah.
A porno with his new babe, a 22-year-old. But by the way, way too much attention on this chick. He was with her for like a month or something. He's hammered. He was completely hammered the entire time.
And that's why he's worried, Drew. She told Ben that she didn't need him and she was going to be the next Kim Kardashian, according to an insider.
Yeah.
He and his team took that as a threat that she has a sex tape.
Really?
He swears they've never recorded themselves having sex, and his inner circle doesn't trust
him. But he was bombed.
Exactly.
He was bombed.
He said he wasn't lucid enough to remember all the details of the relationship. He's been given a stern warning that he can't trust her. He was so off the deep end when he was with her that she could have anything to leak, a sex tape of the two of them, Ben doing drugs or drunk. Oh, so apparently his insider knows that he was doing drugs. Mm. Or him just saying stupid stuff he wouldn't want people to hear.
That'd be even worse. It's funny how sex tape is just no big deal anymore. Isn't it just really no big deal?
It's no big deal. No one cares.
Yeah. They're just like us.
I don't really want to see his sex,
sex
tape.
Sex tapes. We all do.
No desire. I don't want to see her either. I don't care.
Well, you want to watch it? We'll see what a buffoon he probably is in bed.
Well, if somebody tipped me off, I would probably watch.
Well, I don't think you're going to be sitting there waiting for the release, but you'd watch it. I'd watch it.
Yeah, eventually I probably would be.
I'd be forced to. That girl's hot.
I don't know. I don't think she's that hot.
Really?
I think she's okay. You can have her.
I'll take her.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Now she's filming us doing it.
She's not my favorite.
Really? Her?
No, really. I don't know why. She just doesn't do a whole lot for me. Maybe my taste is weird. Let me see.
There's her butt.
Let me give it another chance.
There's her butt.
I love the idea that I'm rejecting her.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see, what is
which one
video?
Is that? That's her. Kind of bark right, I
induce pain. I am losing. Okay, I don't need to see your video if it's loud. Your video's too loud. There she is, nude. There's her butt.
I see a resting bitch face. She's got a nice butt.
That picture one comment. You are pretty.
I know. These sacks of shit.
He's going to get
answering, responding. How many fuckers?
Look at this. Sir Jackson Ryder wrote, I want to have sex with you. I love you.
Okay. How many Instagram followers does she have?
Oh, I bet you she has a ton.
I know. Because she was...
Not that many. 88,000.
Why, though?
Because she's a hot piece of ass.
There's hotter pieces of ass.
Well, yeah, but those people follow all those hot pieces of ass.
Okay.
She's with an annoying friend.
Oh, by the way, what a laugh last night. Okay, my world is pretty full of 90 Day Fiancé right now.
Oh,
yeah.
What were you gaping at, Trudy? You looked shocked.
Here, I'll show you. See who it is at the top?
Yes.
And see the last message?
Oh.
Are you aghast?
Well, why? But
I know. I was trying to...
She's just calling back.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm gaping at. Sorry.
Interruption.
I'm worried about this girl. She needs to go see Roche to get some of these moles removed.
She's got a nice little body on her. I don't know. I think I'm going to reject her. Sorry, you cannot have me.
What?
No, she can't have me.
Well, isn't she
I'm
kind
not
of
interested?
A,
even if she
she's sort of
you?
A boozer.
Yeah, she parties too much. She's too much work.
She's a fan of Pearl Jam.
Oh.
She did stay with Ben at a difficult time. I'll give her points for that.
Yes, but who drove him to
rehab? You really are looking at her personality.
Yes, very much so.
How shallow of me. So just look at that picture right there.
God, her butt does stick out a lot.
Oh. Look at all these women just putting nude photos out of themselves.
Well, she was in Playboy, wasn't she?
Yeah. But, really, do we need to see a nude photo of her every third day?
Yeah. Doesn't hurt.
I think she could.
I think she could be more productive. That's all I'm saying.
But that's her job.
And it's not. What is she doing though?
Model.
Is she really a hot, top notch model? Is she with some big agency?
Landed her. Ooh man, these moles.
I forgot.
Look at that. You play Connect the Dodge. You can draw Ben's tattoo on her back.
I wish I could remember who
that
I was.
Giant tattoo that he has.
I wish I could remember who I was reading about today. Wait, it's in my notes. Somebody who announced, because I don't know why I've become fascinated with Twitter and seeing what people tweet about, mostly because I don't have enough followers. So I'm like, why does she have all these followers? Which is obvious. But anyway, somebody, it was kind of a half. Oh, it was somebody on Cameo.
Oh, really?
Yes. I popped to their Twitter and they didn't have a big following. But they were mentioning that they were in some modeling show.
What?
And I was like,
modeling.
Like, who gives a fuck? I mean, what, like people are going to go out and buy tickets to see her walk down the runway? It was some charity thing. I mean, she's not like 20 years old. Anyway, I just thought, I'm absolutely dumb. So what? You're in a stupid mind. And that's what I find so much of Twitter is people just plugging their shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Whatever.
Well, you can't say anything on Twitter anymore, really, without somebody being outraged and then having to apologize. So I guess
that's what it's
reduced to.
Well, I was on Twitter, on Sunday, I guess it was, because I was looking at this whole business of the joke about the Navy SEAL who lost his eye, and Pete Davidson, and I was really curious about the outcome of that, and I really thought about it because I just wasn't sure. You know, the idea of apologizing for jokes is generally not good form, in my opinion. But I realized what the joke was, it really bugged me. But it bothered me more that that this whole flip, is better, whatever. And then he goes into this serious about, it's for Ariana. Not that it's anyone's business, but she's a wonderful person, and I wish her well. And I thought, you sound like the biggest fucking narcissist on the planet. Like, we're all so worried. And the here's, okay, jokes aside about veterans who lost their eye, here's what's important. Fuck you.
But it's none of your business.
All that was...
Yeah, exactly. It's none of your business. After he throws it at the world for how long? I don't know how long you were engaged.
3 months?
A month, yeah.
All those people that are mad at NBC for not apologizing, all of that was, I guess, improv'd. Or just, he didn't, none of that was written down, the whole what, the where he said whatever.
That's not what, I read a story that said the whole whatever thing was improv.
That's what I'm talking
about.
He was
a veteran.
In the,
yeah,
in
but the
Ariana.
Joke itself was
no, the
not.
The joke wasn't, no.
Yeah, the joke was, and actually it was all very poor, but NBC is responsible for their programming, whether, and apparently they're not going to apologize. To me, the classiest
Good.
Person
Don't
in the whole
apologize.
Thing was the guy that the joke was about. Dan Crenshaw, who said, look, apology would be hollow. They should apologize, but I really don't care. And he's right. The fact that it's now Tuesday and no one's apologized, clearly they don't give a fuck and they're not apologizing. And they think that making jokes about veterans and their injuries is something they don't want to lose. So good for them. They don't give a fuck. I just
don't want comedians apologizing for anything.
I really don't either. But
whatever political side is hurt by it.
I don't care about the politics at all. I think a veteran is something completely different and sacred, and a veteran's injury is even dumber. If I was them, I would apologize because I don't think you lose anything. You're not saying, I'm not making any more jokes. You're saying making a joke about a veteran's injury is a bad idea, and we're sorry. But they're not sorry, so don't apologize. But I'm just going deeper into this guy, you know, his Manchester bombing joke, which is also dumb. His 9/11 joke, you can say, yeah, my father died in 9/11, but I don't think that covers. Does everyone in 9/11 go, oh, my father died in 9/11, or my brother died in 9/11, so that's okay, you know, that's okay because his father died in 9/11.
Of course not, but whatever his humor, whether you don't like it or not, it's humor's not made for everybody.
I just think his choices are very bad. I think he's trying to be a shock comedian, and, you know, whatever, maybe it'll work for him. He's one of those guys that it seems that the audience just laughs at anything he says, kind of like Bill Murray, except I think Bill Murray is in a different category, and I don't think Bill Murray would ever make a joke like that either. But honestly, the worst thing about this guy, because I'm starting to view him as just a complete narcissist. The worst thing, in my opinion, is when him and his stupid, dopey girlfriend,
thank you, next!
I think them flaunting their relationship and making a big to-do 2 months after she broke up with a guy who she was with for 2.5 years, that to me, now they're both well-known people, so it's granted it's bound to get out or it's bound to be whispered about, but I thought the way they acted was pathetic and disrespectful, and I honestly think that's worse than any joke. No. And I'm not saying she killed him, and her reaction since he died, by the way, he's an angel! It's like, no, you don't give a fuck about him. You were engaged to a guy 2 months after you split. Shut the fuck up. What, is she trying to capitalize on the guy's death now?
Man, an angel.
I know. I just thought it was, and the song is so stupid. It reminds me of, to all the girls I've loved before. Which is maybe the dumbest song ever until this.
Thank you. Next! Next.
So, you know, I'm sure the whole thing worked out great for him.
Next.
And I'm sure he's very happy. But honestly, if he had apologized, I would respect that. But he wouldn't mean it anyway. So who cares?
Well, I mean,
what does an apology do for you?
Doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't do anything. I really, honestly, it's not a big deal. I just thought it was a really stupid. It wasn't. First of all, it wasn't funny. Second of all, it was about joking about a veteran's injury? That is just fucked up.
If it was a guy with an eye patch and a beard, you don't think it's funny that the idea of a hitman in a porno, that's a separated at birth?
I don't. Okay. I didn't laugh. You know, I didn't really even understand the joke at first. And I didn't know who Dan Crenshaw was. I thought he was an actor or something. I really didn't know.
But he said in the beginning of the bit they were all politics. I mean, that was the point of the bit.
But I didn't know. I didn't like know that he was a Navy SEAL. He said, I think he was a veteran or something, whatever. And then I thought, wait a second, that's really, you know, and sometimes being dismissive about something that,
that was classless.
That is very flip about it. Well, that can be funny too. I understand the humor in that, but when I found out that this guy lost his vision in both eyes and he got it back in the one eye.
Did you like his other separate at birth or no?
Peter King, if a cigar came to life.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
That was spot on.
It was okay.
The three about himself.
I don't know. At that point, I was kind of stuck at that point. I was like, oh, he's doing this to justify what he just did. So, and I saw through that.
Well,
so,
he had to have an explainer come forward, though. I mean, that's the thing that's kind of weird about this whole thing. They would never do that in the past. But it's such a sensitive time that they had to have somebody come forward and say, this is Pete Davidson's way of coping with things. He has dark humor. That's the way he is.
Okay.
That's the way it is.
Well, that's fine.
People are sensitive about everything.
But I'm going to call him a narcissist because he seems like a real asshole to me. And I'm really saying the whole thing with his girlfriend, Ariana Grande. I thought that was weird when she had just split up with this guy. And I'm not saying she's at fault for his death or anything like that. I just thought that was shitty. And I don't know about the rest of it, but
maybe it was a ploy for him to get out his his dick energy.
His big dick energy. Wait, what were you saying?
That's the other thing when you've just split up with somebody and they're talking about their new boyfriend's big dick. I mean, all that stuff was just really shitty to that guy.
But do you blame him or do you blame her for that?
I blame her for that.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was stupid.
Yeah, but he was an angel by that time.
You know what's funny though? When they split up, and I don't know how true any of this is. I don't know if she said it or her friend said that Pete was very insensitive about Mac's death.
Well, that
I was like, you were insensitive about
Max's
life, you bitch.
Did you hear him on Stern though talk about Max's death? I thought he came across on Stern very normal and nice, but did you hear him talk about it?
I heard some of it. Yeah,
I thought he was honest and legit about it. It's like, yeah, mourn him, do what you need to do. He's not jealous of him.
Well, apparently he didn't do enough. Unfortunately,
well, I think she wanted him to be upset about it, but he didn't know her.
I thought they both sound like narcissists to me, honestly. Some of his answers on Stern were just—I don't know—I thought they were stupid. The idea that he thanks her every time they have sex, it just sounds so pathetic and stupid. And thinking about his father dying in 9/11 to not come. What are you fucking stupid?
If that's a joke, yeah.
I don't think that's funny though. First of all, it creeps me out thinking about his father dying in 9/11, and I mean that's I just don't find that funny at all. And fine, if people love it and they laugh at it, great. Go ahead, have a good laugh. And I'm sure he'll do really well, and he doesn't need me to like him. I just think he's an asshole. Then the totality of it, I honestly really didn't want to analyze it that heavily, but as time went on, because it was in the news a lot. The last couple days, people saying he should apologize. People saying, I saw somebody saying, if you saw Dan Crenshaw's Facebook posts, you wouldn't want him. You know, he didn't deserve an apology. So I'm like, oh my God, here we go. And Trump didn't apologize for what he said about McCain. It's like, okay, so we're all using Trump. Oh.
Why are your lights flickering? Is everything else flickering? It was like a power surge as the printer just.
Yeah.
Get this in before.
That's a little weird.
Sign from Mac Miller, the angel.
Yeah, Mac's agreeing with me. Thank
house
you, Mac.
On fire.
By the way, he
was applauding by flashing the lights.
Let me say this about that. Mac Miller died, somehow I bumped into his music, and I thought he had some talent.
Oh.
Which is too,
really?
You know, a shame.
Angel.
Yeah. He's an angel. No, I thought there was something to his music, which I don't say very often about people his age, but. So. Sorry.
And you don't like Grande's music?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Next is the dumbest fucking thing. Oh my God. Wow.
Thank you. Next.
Naming your past, putting all your past lovers in a song at age 26. How funny. But I guess they liked it. So.
Oh, well, that's good.
And everyone, I'm sure it'll do very well.
Hey, I need to talk about Hoop McInerney Star Lincoln. That's where I got my Lincoln MKZ. And that's where the Lincoln Navigator is. It was chosen the 2018 North American Truck of the Year. They're also loaded up to the gills with 2019 Lincoln MKCs. You can get a lease as low as $331 a month. The new, brand new 2019 Lincoln Nautilus is also there. It's the brand new car that comes standard with so much tech, including safety extras that otherwise would cost you thousands, like blind spot monitoring, lane centering technology, anything you could ever want in a car. The Nautilus has it. 2019 is Lincoln's year for the effortless experience. You can lock in a price online when you shop for your car, and you can just come pick it up at Star. Then you can enjoy Lincoln's complimentary pickup and delivery. They'll come and get your vehicle, and they'll leave you a loaner if you ever need anything done. Just call Jimmy D for all the particulars, 855-567-STAR, or email him jimmyd@starlincoln.com, 855-567-STAR. It's all part of the Star treatment that the legendary dealer, Hoot McInerney, established at Star 50 years ago. Star remains the jewel of Detroit Lincoln dealerships, and you can find them in Southfield at 12 and Telegraph.
Timmy Lovato broke her social media silence.
Did you see what
to
you wrote?
Vote!
Yeah. How annoying.
Awesome.
How annoying. Oh, tell us about this new dick you're sitting on. I don't want to know about voting.
Why do you want to know about him?
I didn't know if I should vote until I saw Demi Lovato voting. She'd been sober for 3 months. And she had a sushi dinner the other night.
Look how made up she is in that picture, too.
Wait, you're not allowed to have a cell phone at the voting booth.
I know. I've seen so many people taking pictures of their, it's a dumb rule anyway.
Well, I watched The Nine this morning, so I know everything about what you're supposed to and not supposed to do.
There's a big story about that guy she was having that sushi dinner with and why people are worried for Demi.
Oh.
I'm very worried for her.
I guess he...
Always.
Well, he was in rehab, too. He's been in and out of rehab since he was 15.
Not supposed to have a relationship for a year.
He's a fashion designer. He's hit with an explosive lawsuit that accused him of drug use, fraud, and discrimination. He engaged in illegal drug use and made racially charged remarks concerning employees and other third parties. He also didn't pay
And he's driving her!
He didn't pay his CFO.
Driving a car!
He owed his CFO $170,000 for 4 years' work.
Well, maybe she can pay it off with the money she saved from not doing drugs.
Oh, maybe. Some people
just saying. Could be a lot.
I was like a fuck up in high school, he told the magazine. I was caught up in drugs and shit like that. He completed his first rehab stint at 15. When
Idiocracy is so close at hand. It is just so close.
People
aren't going to understand that movie soon.
Oh, Brando is like five-hour energy, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Brando.
Yeah, yeah.
Electrolytes.
Like the real 5 hour
energy. Yeah, yeah. It's already. Yeah.
It already exists.
Yes, it does.
That's funny.
People will see that in 20 years and they'll think it's a documentary.
It's true.
Brando's got what Ben's crave.
Yeah, he's got electrolytes.
I love the president in that movie.
Oh.
President Camacho?
Yeah, Camacho. President Camacho.
Rules.
He's awesome.
Yeah. You've got hepatitis. Oh, is someone not feeling well?
Such a great movie.
I love the part when they're having the demolition derby, and the truck, it's like a major truck is coming out to fight Wiz. What's his name in that?
Luke Wilson?
Yeah. No, he goes by,
I can't remember, man.
Not sure. President, not sure. And he's fighting it as a giant penis on the front.
It's really great.
It is a great movie. You can watch it as many times as there it is.
I don't know if I've ever liked Dax better in a movie.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of America!
Woo!
President Camacho!
He shoots off
that he's dancing.
Semi-automatics.
The House of Representatives presented by American Express.
Shit's
on the teleprompter.
I know she's barren, but all that starving bullshit and the dust storms. Are we running out of French fries and burrito coverings?
Yeah.
Burrito covers.
But I got a solution.
That's what you said last time, dipshit.
I got a solution. You're a dick.
South Carolina, what's up? That's what I thought. Now, I understand everyone's shit's emotional right now. But listen up. I got a 3-point plan to fix everything.
Break it down,
Number one, We got this guy not sure. Number two, he's got a higher IQ than any man alive. And number three, he's gonna fix everything.
Whoa.
I give you my word as president. He'll fix the problems with all the dead crops. He's gonna make them grow again. And that ain't all. I give you my word. He's gonna fix the dust storms too. He's gonna be so smart. He's gonna do it all in 1 week.
1 week. President Camacho stood before the world and promised everyone that Joe would solve all their problems.
Oh boy.
He would not only end the Dust Bowl and heal the economy, but he would cure acne and car sickness as well.
So great.
Almost there.
Yep.
Sminty's calling in a couple minutes. I don't know why I want to run down 90 Day Fiance every day. I'm just seeing so much excitement on this show. I'm jumping through seasons, too. And you know what? This is terrible. I have this habit of going on and Googling the people and find, because I want to know, okay, what the fuck happened with these people?
Well, you know there's 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After where they update you.
Yeah.
Oh.
My favorite moment yesterday, I think, was with the 52-year-old blonde. Did you see that fat ass, Mark?
Oh, she's disgusting.
I know. She's so gross.
We were watching her in Africa with her guy's
Nigerian
buddies.
Fiancé.
Yeah. Let's just say 30. There's a little bit of a disconnect with men, male and female roles between them.
Yeah. So anyway, at the end of the episode I was watching last night, she goes, I want to talk about the age difference. When you're 50, I'll be 75. Her math was off. She'd be 72, actually, based on their current difference.
So that was number one.
She said, are you gonna
be able to wipe my ass if I can't do it?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my
that's
God.
That's a red flag.
First of all, I'm thinking, I don't know how anyone could wipe your ass now, let alone in 20 years. Oh, my God. Gross. And she has no business. It's just so ludicrous. Like, what are you thinking about? Why do you think that guy wants to be with you? Holy fuck.
How is that? Is that the approach that you can take now? Just, like, so baseline gross?
I think she was legitimately concerned. It was a concern of hers that she's going to be ancient when he's just middle-aged.
Wow.
And her math added 3 years to that.
That's
to make
what she's
it
worried
worse
about.
Too.
Yeah, really?
But then I'm watching Chantel and Pedro. Oh. Pedro's in the Dominican Republic. Chantel's a knockout.
What?
I mean, you see this and you go, wait, how can this hot American girl be doing a social media thing with a dude in Dominican Republic who barely speaks English? But
what is her problem? What's wrong with her?
Her problem is she's an idiot. Anybody, I'm certain that she's never had a sustained relationship because no one could stay with her.
What season are they in?
I think they're in season 5. Maybe.
See if we can find them.
If you search on Chantel and Pedro,
the clock is ticking.
but there's 90 days, and he's on his 90-day visa, and Chantel won't tell her parents that he's there to marry her.
Oh, that's going to have a good ending.
And she's super close with her parents and her brother. I mean, super close. I noticed that a lot of these people that get in these messes are in really super ultra-tight families.
Like that dope we watched yesterday and his mom.
Yeah. And so with 2 weeks before he has to go, not even 2 weeks, I think it was less, she decides, okay, I got to tell my parents. She's trying on wedding dresses and stuff, going, I want to have a big wedding. And her friends are going, you can get married in a park or something, but, I mean, there's no time. And she's like, but I want to. She's crying because she's going, but I want to have a nice wedding. You fucking idiot. You've had 90 days. You've been lying to your parents. She claimed you had a different visa, a student visa.
Uh-huh.
And just like, and so then it's time to tell, well, you got to tell your parents. And there's like, I don't know how many, 10 days at the most.
Oh, my God.
So then it comes out and she wants him to do it. Wants him to fucking do it. To tell her parents.
Smart move.
And she made up all the lies and she made him, whenever her father starts honing in on this guy, like, are you in love with my, did you want to marry my daughter? He just goes, I don't understand. No comprendo.
Oh, that's a great move. Approach.
Which she taught him.
Mm.
I wish I had a father.
Oh, she's such a fucking dope. Yeah, that's Chantel. Chantel, she's way hot.
And on the third trip, he proposed.
Oh, of course he proposed. That he comes to
Pedro
America.
Pedro has the perfect body. He has a nice smile.
He's actually a good guy. I like this guy.
Oh, well, why didn't you
marry him? Just an idiot for being with her.
Oh, no. He's just...
She's very bangable.
You know, huge, right?
Yeah, my baby.
In the past, I had some relationships that just were not that great.
Yeah, because of you. Because you're an idiot.
I think that Americans don't really treat me the way I want to be treated, but Pedro definitely is a breath of fresh air. He treats me like a princess.
Really? Well, if you think he's so handsome, then why don't you marry him?
United States, and the best and fastest option was the K-1 visa. Pedro's arriving here in just a few days. I can't wait. Are you ready?
All of your wildest dreams will come true.
Pedro's cool. I like Pedro.
¿Cómo vamos de ser mis padres? ¿Tú estás en escuela?
Is he hot?
No sabe inglés. My parents know that Pedro and I are going to be living together, but they don't know that we're actually engaged.
Aww.
They think that Pedro is coming here on a student visa, not a K-1 visa. Because, I mean, with the K-1 visa, we have 90 days to get married. If my parents knew that Pedro was coming here on the fiancé visa, they would flip.
I love you, baby.
I love you, too.
Well, it's always good to hide it.
She told them 10 days with 10 days left, and they did not flip.
So heavy. I'm finally moving out of my parents' house into an apartment with Pedro.
Oh.
Dun, da, da, da. I've never lived with a guy before, so
good move.
It's going to be the first time for both of us. It's finally going to be here in 2 days. So me and Pedro are going to be able to start this amazing life together.
Amazing life
but
it was.
But the only thing is... I'm keeping this secret from my parents that Pedro and I are engaged because I want for them to really get to know Pedro before I just drop this bomb that we're getting married.
Oh my God.
I'm really excited about you moving into your new place. It's awesome.
I want to be out of the house for good and I don't want to come back. You know what I mean?
We are really excited. She's moving out. Yes!
So you're glad.
I guess Mom do knows best.
Oh, not very tight.
I've never met Pedro, but I've talked to him, sort of, on the phone. Obviously, he thinks he's in love with Shannon.
The guy I know, him and her, got it on. Yeah.
It's time for you to concentrate on your studying, to become a nurse. I really hope that you will keep focused.
So now you're going to tell me what to do. Growing up, parents always had pretty high expectations.
Huge tits.
So it only makes sense that they would want me to have the best career and the best life.
I'm sure he has goals. I don't know what they are, but...
He plans on being an aviator mechanic after he learns
English.
I can't understand how he and Chantel have that much in common. It's a relief that he's just in the U.S. until he's done studying. Which is good.
I think they both like his dick inside her. That's cool. I think what they have in common.
I don't know.
Starting to like this guy. Just kidding. I still hate you.
The Dominican Republic.
We don't really want you to move to the Dominican Republic.
No, you don't want to either.
No, you don't. You definitely don't.
I really hope that he's not going to come lay on the sofa and twiddle his toes playing video games. Well, he needs to start working really, really soon. Because sometimes people will use other people.
But I don't think Pedro.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
I would hate to see that happen. That would make Daddy very upset, too.
He works out a lot.
Oh, all right.
Not much else.
I know that Pedro is in love with me, but she does have me putting a little more thought to, you know, whether or not he's really genuine. Okay, I really think that he is. I really believe that he is, but there's always...
It's crazy, just like being out in the real working world, working a real job, like getting out of the house, it just exhausts you. It really does. It's exhausting.
Trust me on this. Don't do something stupid.
Okay.
Like get married.
Oh.
does the mom think there's a TV crew there? She must know.
No, she thinks that they're doing a documentary on the K-1 visa program. That's what she told her mom. So she's told so many lies now.
But you can see that they're being manipulated because they sat down next to each other. And she goes, so, you know, as though they're beginning a scene. So.
Oh, yeah. The mom knows. I mean, she knows this problem. Tell Smitty to hang on just 1 second while I remind people that Dr. Yaldo and satisfied patients that go to him continue to tout their new lifestyle. Dana, not putting in contacts at 5 a.m. when she goes to work out. She just wants us to know she works out. We so see through that, Dana, but I'm glad the eyes are working. Yeah. Jenny, they were so flexible with her payment that she didn't have the cash the day it was due. She just called the office and they just did it for me.
Whoa.
I don't know if that's something I want to brag about. I mean, I don't know if that's something they want to acknowledge people are bragging about, but hey, the Aloy Center is cool.
Well, it shows that they want you to have great vision.
Yes.
And they'll work through the...
And Rob is touting the CATS system, which leaves no room for error. 2015 vision is beyond belief. He's touting his vision. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, custom LASIK or multivocal implants are life-changing. To be free of glasses, reading glasses, and contacts, and see better than you have in decades is a modern medical miracle. And Dr. Yaldo is Michigan's most honored and experienced eye surgeon. So call for a free evaluation and decide later if you can't decide now. Maybe just need a new prescription or new glasses. Can decide on surgery at another time. Eye exams are covered by conventional insurance. 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And then Maz, boy, people are just nuts about everything Maz does over at Zot. Holy moly, I can't decide what I love more than my new Edge or Tom Mazaway, pre-waving his commission. Plymouth is a long way from Holly, but I would drive there again in a second to work with Maz and Zot Ford. And then sales staff is excellent. Tom Maz goes out of his way to make the process of buying cars as seamless as possible. Clean lobby, friendly service staff, and they have massage chairs, LOL.
Mm.
And Nicholas G pointing out that he'll even waive his commission, he cares so much.
Huh.
Boy, the care this man puts into it. Well done, Maz. Those are great reviews. If you want an awesome deal from Ridiculous Guy, go visit Tom Mazaway and our friends at Zot Ford and Holly, or surf their sensational deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Maz, of course, will be here tomorrow as Steve Lukather from Toto. And then Luke Nackaway, Luke Nowacki.
Yeah, who's this Luke Nackaway guy?
I know. I don't know what happened there. There's no time like the present to review your plan for retirement to make sure you're on the right track. Well, it might take a lifestyle change. Saving a little now for retirement can have big results down the road. We've talked about that many different ways. Just reading about the 200,000 401k millionaires.
Really?
200,000 people become millionaires with their 401ks. I think it's in the last year. It's 187,000. Amazing number.
Really?
Just some planning and discipline. Mm-hmm. You don't want to look back years from now.
My 401k is up 41%. My wife thinks I'm a genius.
Like Melania looks at the 401k balance.
Yeah, she does. It's all she looks at.
You don't want to look back years from now and wish the time travel speed was possible. So call Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748 to get started on the path to retirement. Security Investment Advisory
up
Services
Officer. Signatory. Up 150, up 90, up 63. I said, good, that's better.
Signatory Investors Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor at 28411 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan, 40034, 248-663-4700.
John.
No Sminty? No song?
No, I looked.
Sminty,
there was no.
Sminty, Sminty. Sminty.
Not yet, Trudy. Give me your credit card and we'll get one made.
Okay.
John. Sminty!
Wow, a new theme song.
Oh, yeah. John. We seem to have a lot of those these days. How you doing, Sminty?
Well, it's good to be talking on the phone with somebody who didn't call me to ask if I voted today. I've got about 7 or 8 of those calls today. So.
Oh, how annoying.
Wow, a lot of people want to know if Sminty votes.
Of course.
Were you influenced by the celebrities that asked us to vote?
No, not at all.
But Drew Barrymore put a picture online with her voting sticker.
And Kerry Washington.
And Pink and Jeff
Demi
Goldblum.
Lovato.
Lin-Manuel.
Mariska Hargitay.
All of them have no influence over my life or political choices.
Yeah. What about Mindy Kaling? No.
Come on.
Oh,
Oprah?
Yeah, Oprah.
Oprah, yeah. Oh, well. Maybe my wife answered that call. I'm not sure. I'll have to check back home.
We were lamenting that there's no one writing about media in the local media now. Where'd VJ Hammerstein go? Do you know?
Oh, I'll give you a short version of a long story. When he was hired, his job position actually was linked to something called Metro Mix, which the Free Press and several other newspapers tried to get an online one-stop shop to find out what to go places in the various areas. And it was they were franchise deals for Chicago and Los Angeles and Detroit and other cities where I think Tribune Company at the time and Gannett were in on this. Well, that went on for 3 years, and in addition to his duties doing that, he was given the Names and Faces franchise after I retired. And after 2-3 years, the Metro Mix did not generate the amount of revenue that they thought it would, and it was discontinued, so was his job.
Oh.
Is he still around town?
I'm not sure. I haven't talked to him, in at least, I'm thinking 3 years or so.
Wow.
Well, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that.
If there was only a place we could look it up.
It just seems like there's a lot of interest in media. There always is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, here's the deal. I was looking at, there's only one market, I think, where interest is served, and that's in Chicago. Richard Feder, who used to work for the Sun-Times, I think, successfully set up a web page and charts every burp that goes on in the Chicago media market, anchor people changing or a new reporter signed on. He had one today. I was looking at it. He covers a reporter who has moved from a day job, which is a per diem job, to full-time staff. I mean, who does that anymore? Nobody does it. And part of the reason has to do with the fact that newspapers and television stations and radio stations are generally competing for the same advertising dollar in one form or another. So why cover something who's trying to take your money away?
Oh. Wait, but what if it's actually news?
Well,
Shut up, Drew.
Look at it this way. I've been retired 10 years now.
And 10 years?
Yes, 10 years. Amazing how time flies.
Jeez.
And when I retired, how many people were making, some of them were making seven-figure, high six-figure salaries in the marketplace? All those people are gone, except with the possible exception of Hugh.
Hugh Perkins?
Yeah, Hugh Perkins.
You are fake news.
Carmen Harlan is gone. All the people at Channel 7, they cleaned house there.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I watch Channel 7, I think the only face that's semi-familiar is Dave Lou Allen, who's been there. The rest of all the senior people have been timed out, and their contracts weren't renewed.
And you know what?
Dave's 11 o'clock anchor now, isn't he?
Yeah, and you know what I think about that? That he must not make very much money.
Thank you, Trudy.
He may make more, but my assessment is, oh, God, he probably makes rock bottom.
Follow the money.
Yeah.
Speaking of money, I was surprised to see in the coverage of the Rod Allen, Mario and Pemba stuff that I was shocked to see that Mario was making $500,000.
I was too.
In the Detroit News, and Allen was making $350,000. I was just staggered. I thought it was much lower.
I would have thought Mario made about maybe $250,000.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Now he had been there 14 years, which you know, hanging around makes a difference. But I was just shocked that they let it get up to that. And it turned out he did them a big favor. The two of them getting in that fight did the Tigers a big favor. It allowed them to get out from under, and now they can hire two more people who work for a lot less, guaranteed.
Well, but the danger is they could be a lot worse. Not that they, Rod and Mario, were that great, but they were good. They were serviceable.
True.
I mean, get what you pay for.
But, you know, the other deal now is, as you probably read, that Fox, the Tigers are putting together their own media network, like the Yankees do, and I think the Dodgers do out on the West Coast, and that could put Fox Sports Detroit out of business.
Are you buying that? Do you really think they're going to do that?
That's the way the wind's blowing these days. I think it's really possible.
Okay,
it makes sense. You cut out the middleman.
I wondered if
that's right. Exactly. That's right. Yep. Cut out the middleman, and it's all about the money. It really is.
But I guess if you like running it. I don't know. I mean, it seems like the money they were getting for the rights, I wonder how much more money they'll make. Will they really make a lot more money for the trouble?
I think when you cut out the middleman, I'm sure that the Ilitch organization has media moguls working on this and trying to figure out how they can make it work. And I think they can, especially if the baseball team rebounds, if the Red Wings rebuilding efforts start to fall in, and I'm sure that they'll get the Pistons to go along with them. I think the Pistons are signed up with Fox for a couple more years, but you got to wonder what Fox would do if they lost two of those three teams. There's not a whole lot to fill with that.
Yeah, I wonder how many of those people they will keep to do the same thing, or will they start fresh?
Well, you know, they picked up way back when it was on TV. Do you remember that back in the 80s, I think? they kept pretty much when Fox took over, they picked up pretty much most of those people. So I would think that a lot of those people would hang in there. But again, you don't know. I mean, you're going to start off with zero base with regarding to income, so you got to build that up. So you're not going to be paying big salaries. So,
you know,
it's going to be a big year, a big change there on all this stuff. It's just that's going to really shake up the local media sphere there. I hope somebody writes about it. Somebody like maybe Crane's Business, because that's a big business story, and I think they'll stick with it.
They will. I'm surprised how often they lead media stories now, but who else would? I suppose the thing is. Sports broadcasting is plenty homery as it is. With the team owning the network, is there going to be anything left in terms of criticism? I guess there just really wasn't much anyway.
That's right. I mean, you had an awful team there, and never a discouraging word was heard from either Ron
about
the team last year. I have AT&T cable here, and for a while I had the Yankees package, so I could watch the Yankees. And you know, those two guys, Mike, the Yankee broadcasters. That's the same thing. It's just, you know, no matter what the team is doing, it's a wonderful day at the ballpark.
Oh yeah, well, it usually for the Yankees, there are a lot of wonderful days. So it seems over the course of time.
Yes, there are. Yeah. So here we'll have to wait a little bit more.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So, what did you think of the media coverage of Mike's death?
You know, I thought it was symbolic of the show apex. What an effect he had on listenership when the Drew and Mike show were right in the top of the ratings. And I think it was a nice tribute to people. You read all the responses on the on Facebook and the other media. Both the obituaries in both papers were well done and filled out, and it was a nice tribute to him. I thought.
Yeah, I was kind of blown away. The TV was, you know, it was mentioned right at the top of the news, and I thought they did a good job. And of course, Elric knew Mike very well, so I thought he did a great job on it, and they had some nice clips.
You know, I thought the saddest thing about that was the letter Mike's father posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
That was just ripped your heart out. If anybody hadn't seen it, they should look it up, because it was. I read that, and I was moved to tears. It was really a sad, sad response.
You want to summarize it, Sminty? Because I don't want to, but I won't mind if you do.
You know, why did God take, why didn't they take me instead of my wife and Mike first? And it was just a man who's in deep despair over losing his son. And said what a good son he was. And Mike, every time Mike called him, he said, I love you, Dad. And, you know, it's just, you really felt for Mr. Clark Sr. there.
Yeah, Mike wasn't real. I mean, he was very emotional about a lot of things, but not generally about family. But he really, I mean, it was very clear. That's the funny thing about him dying is how much I thought about him and the way he was. Everything was very on the record with him. And how he felt about his father, his sister, and Trish, and almost everything else. It's funny how often something comes up and I go, oh, Mike would say this, or Mike would think that. He was very... very succinct, really, and repeated his feelings.
You know, I always thought,
often.
I maybe mentioned this to you once before, but I always thought the magic of the Drew and Mike show was kind of like a club that you belonged to. You didn't have to pay dues. All you had to do was tune in. And if you listened every day, you picked up on all the inside jokes and the inside references. And that's why it was such a success. You got a sense of belonging when you listened to it.
Yeah, that's true. I think shows like that have their own code. And and the drops were a big code. And to this day, you know, in the podcast, people say I talk in drops, and we have new drops, and there's new drops that are very popular. And it's really kind of amazing. I don't know. It's funny how you don't think about that so much when you're doing it, but when I think of other shows, they also have code. You know, I listen to Howard Stern a lot, and Brand Meyer back in the day. I always loved The Loop. And those shows had their own code, too. It was very interesting.
I'll tell you something about code here. I've been doing some cleaning, and I'm getting rid of a lot of cassette tapes, which I
had. Sminty, give them to us.
I already donated them to the library. They sell them, and they make money off it. But I was looking through some of the tapes, and when you see them, I'm thinking, oh, that's the one that Drew and Mike did a parody on, you know? And I'm looking, I had a Greatest Hits of Heart there, and I the thing about A dog and butterfly.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah. Getting a dog, doing it dog style.
Style.
Yeah,
yeah.
Against the Rangers in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have to tell a story because there was a picture you always used of Mike that he was not too fond of.
Oh yes, that to me was one of the greatest testimony to the power of the Mike Show. Mike would complain every time you'd use a picture of him. And we had about four or five of them in the Free Press file. And at that time, I was also in charge of laying out the page so I could crop the pictures in various ways, take off the top of his head or do a tight crop around his, forehead.
Oh.
So after a while, I kept changing him. And every time he was in there, he would complain about it. So on a slow Monday, he used to write most of the Names and Faces column on Monday on Friday because I used to have 2 days off. And I looked for stuff that was kind of timeless. So I decided, let's have a Mike W. Clark mugshot. And I ran four of them. And at the time, I was running the Free Press audio text system so I could run surveys and just count the number of calls to the various lines. And I did that. Call this number and punch one for picture number one, punch one, two for picture number two, et cetera.
It's like a Twitter poll.
And we had so many calls on it. I can't remember the number anymore, but it almost burned out the system of people calling in. And, of course, they picked the one that, as I recall, I think Drew dialed up on the air a couple times and kept pressing the one that he liked best, that he liked least.
Yeah.
So it just ran, and people asked. Today, occasionally they still ask me about that stunt because it was one of the more successful things I ever did, and it showed that what the pull of it was, just a silly little thing. I let him pick what picture he wanted. So.
Yeah, cross promotion.
Steal that bid.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
No, he was funny about his picture, and he really did like his last Facebook picture. He changed it just before he died. And
yes, I saw that. It was really well done. It was a very nice picture.
Yeah, he did. And it's funny. We were looking at pictures, a lot of pictures, thinking about a T-shirt and whatnot. And everyone knew exactly which pictures he liked, too. Again, he was very on the record. And all his catchphrases, God, I just forgot how many there were because we're talking about doing a shirt and putting maybe a top 10 on there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have a vote or two for that, but it just was amazing how many. And the Facebook, you're right, Facebook and the comments and the various posts. I know Rashawn posted his last traffic report. And it was unbelievable how many people commented and some really sad, you know, remembrances just because he's gone. But I will say this, he would have completely loved all of it.
Well, absolutely. Day. And it, it, you know, you read those responses and it, you know, so many people were listening. It was part of their life. Every morning they got jumped in the car to commute to work and Mike and you guys were fooling around and it became a part of their daily routine. And the tribute that they paid him after his passing was really, really quite noteworthy. And, you know, you've been off, how many years is Drew?
Five
and a half years now. So, I mean, that's really something because the passing parade is the passing parade here. It's amazing how many people don't have that memory. People, I was looking at the stuff the other day. We were talking about TV personalities, and I had saved every clipping I wrote for the Free Press for 38 years.
Whew.
And I figured it was time to get rid of it because it's all online now. It's easy enough to find it. If I want to find something, I'll just do it that way. So I had an old steamer trunk full of my clippings, and I'm throwing all that out. And I'm seeing names of TV people that, who, what, they were here? What, you know, did I write about that? There's just so many faces that fly through that you don't think about it once.
Can you name a few that maybe popped up that you're like, oh, that person?
Oh, no, I tried to forget them all. Because otherwise I'll regret throwing out the 30, you know, the two steamer trunks full of clippings. It's interesting, too, about how some of the older newspaper that they had when we were using Virgin newsprint back in the day, those outlasted the ones in later years, which were done on reprocessed paper, and the paper starts to fall apart in yellow.
I noticed that, too.
Yeah.
Joe Glover died.
Yes, he did.
And he was he 79 years old?
I think, all those people, you know, who were greatest hits of the 80s, they're all pretty much their 70s or 90s now, that group of people. Yeah, Joe was Mr. Jerry Lewis Telethon here. That was his big thing. You know, for Jerry's kids, he worked that thing hard and was, you know, did good community work for that. And that was the beginning of the days when, once upon a time, for the Jerry Lewis Telethon, you'd have people come in from all the TV stations. They'd work a shift there, and by that time, that was already changing. No, Channel 4 didn't want the people on Channel 2. Channel 7 didn't want the people on Channel 2. And it became, an intramural thing as opposed to intramural. The telethon appearances and stuff like that. People used to show up for Channel 56. They used to have a big auction back in the, I think they ended in the 80s there, and you used to have all the people from all stations come on, and then it, that sort of stuff, because they didn't want to do the cross anymore. We don't want our people anywhere but on our state.
I was trying to remember Joe Glover, because he left with his girlfriend, who was a young reporter at Fox 2, and something went terribly wrong in Florida with her, I know. I mean...
What I remember, he had a very brief marriage that was like 2 weeks or something like that. Really, really brief, that went wrong. But I don't remember the details much anymore. That was like in 1984, 85.
Yeah, this was later. This was when he left. And if you don't remember, it's probably good. It wasn't that great. Do you know who...
You know, I'll only tell you something. You know, Paul W. Smith, when I was talking about Mike on his show, asked me, why don't you do a blog and keep following these things? And one of the reasons I don't do it is that you had great protection when you worked for a newspaper regarding libel suits. You write something bad about somebody, I'm not particularly interested in having somebody sue me and go after my house, my car, my wife, etc.
Just host the blog in like the Canary Islands.
Yeah,
then you're subject to their laws.
Yeah. International waters.
Yeah, international waters.
Yeah, it's like that story that it was in the Free Press about the sexual assault in Jamaica. There.
Yep. God, that was a nasty story.
No justice there, boy.
What a horrible story.
Horrible story. Yeah.
You know what? What I was wondering about, people who have left Detroit that are doing well in other places. Does anyone come to mind? And Lucy Noland she's had 3 or 4 jobs since she left, but she always seems to have a good job.
Yeah, I think was she in Philadelphia?
Yeah,
I think that was her last stop. But, you know, a lot of that doesn't happen much anymore. There was a Shawn Gables. Remember her?
Oh, beautiful. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
She was in a movie that they playing a TV reporter, and I'm not sure she's still in New York anymore. For a while, she was. Remember Bill Bonds showed up in Planet of the Apes.
And Diana and Sylvester Stallone.
And Diana Lewis, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And Bill Spencer was in the that other movie. What's that movie?
About
but that was before he was here.
The teacher that had her husband killed by her student. She was
Pamela Smart.
Yeah,
Pamela Smart. Yeah, was Nicole Kidman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, bluntly, Detroit doesn't seem to be a launching place for those kind of jobs anymore. There may be a few who've landed in the big markets, New York and L.A., but...
Denise D'Adore is...
That's right.
Denise D'Adore. That was one of Mike's favorites.
Oh.
KABC. I like Denise. Yeah, she was...
She was smitten by Mike. I remember that, yeah.
Oh. she's still there. She's at KABC. Yes. Oh, I think it's Los Angeles, though.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think she's a medical reporter there. And
yeah, she's
done
is.
That for quite a while, yeah.
And Bill Spencer's in San Antonio, and he's doing the same.
Yeah, but I don't think San Antonio is a promotion from the Detroit market.
No, it's not. Yeah. And I was really surprised, Minty, that Channel 7 let him go. He was not that old, and his work was stellar.
But, you know, what was the story when they got rid of the last batch of people, Joanne Purton, and that? I think they had to cut the budget $20 million or something like that.
Is that $20 million?
Oh, yeah,
for the stations, okay.
It was a big chunk of change, and sure enough, I mean, the number of survivors there have been relatively few. I mean, the weather people all have changed over pretty much, and the sports guys are non-existent anymore. I'm sort of surprised that Channel 4. I think they probably, you know, they've still got Bernie around, Smilovitz and Devin.
Yeah.
But Gatica left, and after
tried to come back.
Tried to come back several times, but the point is that the big salaries just aren't there anymore for that. They're not paying mega salaries like they did. This was a great place to work back in the 70s and 80s and most of the 90s, and then the business changed.
Yeah, Detroit was always a great media market. It was, and you talked about the guy writing in Chicago. Chicago is really into its media people.
Yes.
maybe more than Detroit. If maybe not. It's they're both pretty. I mean, you don't have that many stars, and they're both very big cities. Chicago's huge. Chicago's like a 500-something million radio market. So
wow,
the stakes are big.
Yeah, I noticed that. I see Steve Dahl's show is ending in December there, and I remember you probably remember this during his comeback. Steve was briefly on 97.1.
Yep.
Format, and I believe for the time period he was here, he had a rating of 0.0.
Oh. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, like nobody, literally, almost no one was listening.
Yeah, he was.
But
he
I'll
was,
tell you, back in the 70s when I was, he was one of my morning listens. He was incredibly inventive when he was on W4 here back in the day, and WABX.
I loved him on The Loop. When he was on here, I think he's had some ups and downs and some problems with substances and things like that. And he was definitely on a down because I listened to him. I was excited about him being on here because he was on in the afternoon when I could hear him. And I was like, boy, it just doesn't sound like the old Steve. It was, and Gary had left. And so, I've heard him recently and I actually thought he sounded sharper and, you know, kind of like.
Did you perchance listen to the last. He did the last day on The Loop there before it changed formats. It went to a religious format after that. And
I didn't hear that. I heard it was great.
It was like 8 hours. I think you can still find it if you do a search for last broadcast of The Loop and Steve Dahl, it'll pop up. I think it's still up. It was fascinating. It was, I think, a six-hour broadcast. I listened to most of it, and it was, you know, it was interesting because he had a couple of guys on there who had been in Detroit here, Sky Daniels, who went to this jockey back on W4 here.
He was a big name in the radio business. Bruce Wolf was on, too, who had been on all those stations. Bruce is hilarious.
Chit, chit, chit.
Yeah. There are a lot of people checked in.
But, you know, stop and think of the current market on the broadcast band. Who's been around the most? Mojo in the Morning is probably the last one. Mason, of course, still this morning. I think he's more famous for basketball than he is for doing radio anymore.
Could be.
The rest of the stations have all wandered away. A lot of them have producers doing shows like WCS. Jim O'Brien was a producer. Now he's the morning man there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a terrible decision to have producers.
Remember the days when you would not hear a producer?
I know, those were the days.
Like, yeah.
And I actually remember going into some studios and they said, the producer shall not speak on this over the air on this program.
I think there's a lot of hosts, that's honestly, weird, who thought as soon as somebody got the mic, they'll start taking away from me.
That's right. Yeah, that was the methodology there. But now, you know, coming up, hell, you ever listen to the producer show on 97.1 on weekend nights? So they let the guys do the late night show there.
I like how you're still in touch, Minty. Yes. You're still following all this stuff. How is that show? I have heard it once or twice.
Personally, I find it very enjoyable.
Really?
Of course.
I thought it was okay. I think it was bad.
No, it's different.
Mark wants to know.
He's right. Mark is right. I think it's pretty good. It's not as often on this time of the year because if there's a late Pistons game or a late Red Wings game, it sort of gets preempted. But, I mean, they do intelligent stuff, and it's their chance to show their talent.
You know what I like about it is that it's not polished whatsoever for better and for worse. So when something goes bad, it's kind of fun to listen to. But
yes.
But you know that can happen, so I kind of like that about it.
Yeah. But you know, there aren't the personalities right now on general radio that merit the kind of coverage. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but when Mojo leads the market here, I don't think you're going to see the kind of stories that happen when you guys left Riff and or some of the other changes that have happened with people leaving, like Harper left. Left the broadcast market there. That was big news, and I don't think you're going to see that when some of the current radio personalities.
John, do you still flip around the dial in the morning to all the stations?
Not so much anymore. I can't. You know, there's some stations that I'm just out of it. 98.7, not my kind of music. Mojo, I know what he does, so I don't stop there much. I actually in the morning listen more to classical music.
Yeah,
Steve Wagner, and then NPR.
Well,
NPR listener.
Let me ask you this because it's my favorite terrible bit, and I can't stop listening to it because it's so bad. But 96.3 does the Deal Breakers bit. Have you ever heard it?
You know, no,
it's
I
so
haven't.
Phony. They're all actors, and it's so hilariously bad. And it's And it actually infuriates me a little bit because, you know, no effort or work goes into that 20-minute segment whatsoever.
Yeah, that whole business with Cumulus there, I mean, they've got WJR and then the other two stations that are just whiffing. You know, the Nash thing turned out to be relatively unsuccessful. And
I was surprised by that.
96.3 has never really found a niche, you know, and it's been 20 years now. You know,
they just do enough to stay alive, it seems. What about WJR, Sminty? I keep hearing they still are number one billing. They bill, I don't know, $17 million a year or something. And I look at their numbers and I say, who's buying them? Somebody should be fired.
Here, it's just like Imus was in New York. Imus's morning ratings were very low, but he got the movers and shakers, the people who were opinion leaders, listen to him in the morning.
But is that true, and does that create real value?
Mrs. Ford listens to WJR. That's how they got the lion.
Mrs. Ford.
The automotive types. Yeah, the automotive types still listen to that because he talks the automotive talk in many cases. And that's a certain draw there. If you're in the automotive business, he's going to have somebody on there who's going to be talking perhaps about what's going on at Ford or GM or Chrysler, and that's a draw for those people. But that's how the advertising is. And listen to the ads. A lot of them are industrial.
Yeah, they are. That's true. If indeed they are doing that, and that's why they make money, then more power to them. I just thought it was, you know, like older agency people and people just saying, I want to be on WJR because it's the call letters are legendary. Huge. There's no way around it.
Well, speaking of, you know, legendary call letters, when I first came to Detroit in 68 here to go to college, and at that time, the Detroit radio ratings went a lot like this. WJR would have about 33% of the market. CKLW had between 33 and 40.
Wow.
And the other 30% was split among the other 14 or 15 stations. If you got a 3 in those days, you were doing good because those two were way up ahead of everybody else. And that all, of course, evaporated when AM radio went down the drain. Look at AM radio here. This is a very weak AM market. All you've got is WJR and WWJ. The rest of the stations are very niche broadcasters. And
What about the Superstation?
Superstation 910?
Yeah.
You know, you'll never find out what the ratings for those are because, you know, they're not.
They don't subscribe.
They don't subscribe to Nielsen. That's another thing, too, about reporting. When I was covering radio, I had a number of people who would give me ratings for the various age breakdowns and the time frames, which are much more important than the general ratings, which is, I think, what was plus six listeners, six and above.
Yep.
And, you know, those are basically just kind of useless. But I think since Arbitron sold out to Nielsen, I don't think those numbers are available in the press. And if they are, it's copyrighted. And Nielsen used to be very aggressive about their information being used without their permission. So no one really knows what the real radio ratings are. You can see what the general ones are by going on the web and looking at various websites, but they're not terribly informative.
It's funny. I'm reminded of Gary Graff telling us that the embargo wasn't over and you wouldn't talk about Bohemian Rhapsody. You guys that follow the rules and worry about those things. There's so many people that just don't care about any of that now. And hey, they might get sued one of these days or they may have a problem. But
yeah, but you know, I'm really surprised because nobody, even online, nobody prints those breakout ratings, you know, the 25, 54 or what.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I have seen them on Buzzboard a time or two.
Yeah, I've sort of gotten away from that. I'll have to take another look and see if they're somewhere, because those are the numbers that matter if you're at all
absolutely
in radio.
Yep.
You've got to find those.
And I think Dave and Chuck do real well. I know that.
Yeah, that was in retrospect, was that a sure sign or that the Raider Media was
apocalypse?
About to sell? get rid of the big salaries. We're going to sell the station.
I heard, and I don't know, I shouldn't say this. I heard that their pay was not something the new company was super happy about. But they, you know, that's how they make money. That show makes the money, don't they?
Well, we know Greater Media got another station off the books too before they sold.
Yeah,
one was 105.1.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Dave and Chuck, I will say this: they're on in Boston now, and they're on in Florida. And do they talk about Detroit at all?
You know, I don't know. I honestly have not listened to them recently. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I have to, I hate to admit this, but I don't think I've listened to WRF since you guys left.
Aww. Oh,
well, that's the way it should be. And that's the way it should. So that's why the ratings are so terrible. That's what Mike Clark said to me. Nobody listens to Riff since we left. And I'd say Mike, Dave, and Chuck are number one, by the way.
You know, one of my favorite career stories was back in about the 1988 or so. I'm opening up my mail at the Free Press office. We were at 321 West Lafayette at the time, and what is in it but a ratings book sent to me?
Ooh!
And I'm thinking, how the hell did this happen? You know, those things are supposed to be highly regulated. So I kept the book going for a week, but in the end, I didn't turn it in. I called them and said, "Look, you guys need to know I got a ratings book and I shouldn't come close to getting one." Oh, we're sorry. How did it happen? What was the address? What was it mailed to? How did it happen? Can you send it back to us? I said, sure, I'll send it back to you.
Now, was that the ratings, the actual ratings, or was that to be a diary holder?
No, to be a diary holder. Yes,
okay.
I should have been
McCullough.
Okay. I got a diary. Yes.
Oh,
which
wow.
Was unheard of. And then, you know, that was to a downtown Detroit address, which had no residences at the time. I mean, back those were the days when you could set a low-level nuclear weapon off in Detroit after downtown Detroit after 6 o'clock and not hurt anybody.
Yep.
Now it's totally different. That's the part I actually rue about retiring. I worked down there 38 years downtown, and the place was basically dying, and now it's like, you know.
Happen.
Wow, this is the way it should be.
Yeah, I know it's a shame it wasn't that way sooner, but it is nice for a change. Well, Sminty, thanks for checking in, and we should check in more often. You always are up on things. I have to give you credit.
Hey, I want to ask you something before I go. Have you heard anything? Is there going to be any kind of memorial for Mike, or is that still under being thought of, or is the family just too verklempt to do it?
They are. They are really wiped out, and I think Cynthia, Mike's sister, who was so sweet, I think she really would want to do something, but I think Trish is just not even close.
Sure. And yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Totally. It'd be a shame to do it without Trish. They were really peas in a pod, and they were hermits. And, you know, I did kind of worry about that. Like, what happens when one of them, and so yeah, here we are.
I think if they do it, they'd be surprised at the turnout. Yeah.
I think they would too. And I think it'd be good for Mike's dad. I think he'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
Really do.
Yeah. That was by far and away the saddest part. When I was redoing Facebook and read that, I said, oh, this is just too much for that.
You know, I
sent him a little private message saying, I'm so sorry for your loss.
I got to send him something, too. I started reading it, John. I couldn't finish it. I really couldn't.
Yeah.
I could not.
Very sad.
So
very
sad. And he was a sweet guy. He is a sweet guy.
Yes. All right. Well, let's talk about something in a happier times further down the line.
You got it, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We're going out with your favorite song, John.
There I was with my old man. No smooching again. There we go. All right.
We both start. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
No possibilities of getting what I need. He looked at me and he smiled. Said, now, turn around, child.
Is it bad that I still remember all these words?
You see, we're doing it doggy style.
It's a great parody.
Ass in the air up nice and high. That dog is a horny guy.
Ooh,
below, she has to try. She crouched face down and was banging with one eye.
Get a doggy style and get a little
bit of big brown eyes. Doing it doggy style.
God, listen to the harmonies, too.
No.
Man, that's elaborate.
I stumbled upon my secret place. I rose from my knees. I had fear on my face. We both have different desires. He likes the Rangers. I root for the Flyers. But the Rangers had come from behind. And the hockey game was tied. We see the whole game doggy style. Ass in the air up nice and high. That dog is a horny guy. Below she has to lie. She crouched face down in the crunch.
goes down in a winking with one eye, the big brown eye. Yeah, the big brown eye, doing it to doggy style.
Wow, the best.
Sure, I have more election returns for you.
Yeah, it's the polls are out now.
I am now up to 4 votes. I have another regent vote from someone.
Sweet. Oh. There's a groundswell.
And you're up. They don't get paid, by the way. Regents don't.
Oh, they don't.
No, they get good perks, though. Well, they meet like once a month. You have 1 vote for Supreme Court Justice.
Sweet. Okay.
So you're on well on your way. I was reading this story, too, because, you know, there's always a story about voting problems.
Oh, yeah. And when a lot of people vote, there's always a lot of problems.
This might be one of the most laughable ones I've ever heard of. At Greenfield Elementary in Southfield Township, mm-hmm. A resident was told her voting machine was out of order when she arrived to vote at 8:30 a.m. She went home to call the township, which, talking about a busybody.
Jeez.
By about 9:15, she had heard that the voting machine was up and running again. The machine's batteries ran out after 2 hours, said Southfield City Clerk Sharon Tischler. It was plugged into a surge protector, but the protector was set to the off switch, which was fixed by a custodian. They didn't look to see whether the on or off switch was working, Tischler said.
What? How adorable.
How fucking stupid.
How cute is that?
They had to bring in the custodian. That's pretty funny. Just picture how pissed he was. Like, really?
Well, he's a hero, though.
Yeah, because he flipped a switch from on to off to on.
Nobody else did it. What? He saved the day. He's somebody's hero. He's my hero.
This is how we vote.
Jesus.
Oh, my.
So laughable.
If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
Oh, amen. Man. Well, it was great to hear from Sminty. And I really, when I'm talking to him, he reminds me of Gary Graff because he's just so thorough. He's so factual. And Elric, too. I think of those three people together. And I mean that in a nice way.
Gary.
It seems like the old journalist.
A throwback.
Yeah, the throwback. There just aren't many left. And Elric and LaDuff, I love what they do because they really love hunting down stories. And they really love that getting in the weeds, which I don't think there's a lot of people doing it now.
Yeah, chunky, fast, you know, like
clickbait entertainment.
Well, no,
Alec Baldwin calls it.
Fact-based stuff that, you know.
Yes, and very factual.
Yes. And information rich. I mean, I click on things all the time when it's just like, hey, what's happening in this picture is this story. And it's just, and I'm like, why? You just waste so much time going through things that are so shallow and there's nothing to it and it passes you by.
Yeah, I remember people saying, you know, 15 years ago, oh, there's nothing in the paper anymore. And
wow, now there's really nothing.
The newspaper has gotten progressively, now every once in a while, you know, I will say the story about, I think it was a 7 Mile Gang.
Yeah, that was a good story.
That was a really good story. It was really thorough. Yeah,
him and George Hunter do really good stories.
They do. And very thorough. And
Teresa Baldus does good stories for the
Freight. She does. She breaks some
great news. She's the one that did the Jamaica story.
Well, and she,
that Sminty hit.
She knows some of these really impressive people I've been talking about. So maybe they're all rubbing off on each other. But honestly, I remember when I worked in Roanoke, which is a small market, it was, God, I think it was market 99, and actually combined with Lynchburg, Virginia. Before that, it was like 170 or something.
Wow.
So it was barely a top 100 market when I was there. And the Roanoke Times guys used to meet on Friday afternoon at this one little dive diner. And those guys were so much fun. I always liked news people. They were just, you know, they just had that something that, you know, they really wanted a story and they really liked digging in. They're always fun-loving people, too. And, you know, now I don't know the young news people. Maybe they're just wonderful. But I just don't see the kind of work that ML does and Charlie does. You just don't see a lot of it. And those guys are very different, too. I mean, they do. They have different styles. They're both great in their own way. And I hope Elric gets, I don't know, do we have hope still?
We're in a holding pattern.
Okay.
Waiting for an entity.
Partially,
piece of garbage.
Partially because the human piece of garbage, ML Elric, is so thorough. He's going to have all the boxes checked before it starts.
Well, that's important.
Well, to him it is. That's part of what makes him him. So, I hope it happens because I think it'll be good. We talked about what he wants to do, and And I think the hard thing for somebody like ML and Charlie less so is that a podcast, you know, people are going to a podcast for you. They are going for you. And there's a lot of people trying to do podcasts who aren't going to get the kind of, I think there's a lot of interest in him. And that's why I think to do a podcast, it's got to be about him. And I think that's not easy for him to get because he's used to writing about other people and digging into other stuff. But he's a funny guy. And I think he'd do a great show.
I know. I listened to his last Friday's show. And I love how he's...
Oh, Charlie's No BS News?
He halts people. He slams the brakes on in the middle of something so that he can break down the explanation so that it makes... So it's not like jargon or above people's heads or, you know...
And he can get... Boy, sometimes he gets above my head and I have to slow him down. Go, wait, explain that. And his mind works really fast. He's really... Wow, is he detailed?
Yeah, but really? He doesn't let his guests sort of try to, you know, couch it in...
Yeah, he's
big words.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Detailed explanations that, you know, it's common man.
But he loves a laugh too.
Yeah.
And that thing goes, it'll go a lot of different directions. And I mean, there's a lot of work going into that hour.
Yeah.
You know, Joe, that pre-recorded bit every week, that takes a lot of time. You got to go out and do that. I don't think
Joe's got a really busy schedule.
There's a lot going on. And I don't think you'll hear many podcasts that go out. The ones that are produced, I really do appreciate what they do. The Aaron Hernandez one has been very
good. It's
really
good. Did you see the update on that one?
No.
They have a prison call from him to his lover.
What?
And he was talking about, I think the quote was something about this faggot that walks around here with butter on his lips. Like Aaron was talking about the people in jail. Let me see if I can find it.
Wow. Yeah, boy.
Oh.
He was also smoking a bunch of spice or K2 leading
prison?
Up to his suicide.
You know, does that come in through the butthole connection?
It must
all
but,
that,
but you know what? It doesn't show up on their drug tests, which is why prisoners like it.
Oh, that's right.
Wow. Yeah, he went on homophobic rants.
Really?
Wanted to kill the homo within?
Yeah.
The former prisoner often talked to.
If he had been known as gay, would he have been a gay icon? Would gays just have been thought he was the hottest gay dude ever?
Yeah,
probably.
Absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny to think about because you know I would have never in a million years, and not that I care, I really don't give a shit. I would have never thought he was gay. I mean, you're just not going to think a football player is. But when you hear what his teammates say about him, he sounds a lot more sensitive than you would ever think.
I mean, I'm surprised.
Especially for a guy that shoots four people.
It's quite a caveat.
So he would often talk to friends on the phone about his life in prison. And one phone call uncovered by the Boston Globe Spotlight team, the ex-NFL player dissed another inmate for being homosexual. Quote, there's this fucking faggot that walks around prison with butter on his lips for lipstick. It's ridiculous. He walks around so flamboyant. Like, oh my God. The call continues with Hernandez imagining fighting the man.
Huh.
Wink, wink. Fighting the man. My I punch him in the face, my dick slides in his mouth, and what? What?
Brandon's in the house.
Brandon has the same tats as Aaron Hernandez's gay lover?
Hold on, Brandon.
Oh, not much. I'm waiting. I'm slowly waiting to get a phone call here.
I know. What's going on? Out. Let's do it. Try to push that baby out
right.
by now.
We are close. What is the due date?
The due date is
tomorrow, isn't it?
Wednesday. So for everybody listening, the due date is today.
Push it out.
My
big
God.
Storm.
Push it out. Way out.
Big How's storm. She doing?
8.5 pound baby so far.
How's Kristen?
She's ready to get that baby out.
Is she?
Oh, yeah.
She excited?
She's very excited. It's just I think she's tired of being pregnant. She's still working. And
how much Red Dead Redemption 2 have you gotten in before this baby's born? Because there'll be zero afterwards.
Bullshit. I've gotten quite a bit. I'm on chapter 2 still. I'm kind of stretching out chapter 2. I got a whole stable full of
chapter
steeds.
2? You should be done by now.
No way. I'm still building up my armor. Trust me, you should come
Kiss
over.
Goodbye.
I'll show you. Kiss it.
Say goodbye.
Yeah, right. And my brother Jeff's got about a 1 year old. He doesn't think you're going to be playing much either.
Mm-hmm.
He really doesn't.
Baby's got to sleep.
Baby!
Baby's got to sleep.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, and when are you going to sleep?
I don't have to sleep. Oh. I'll play video games.
So Redemption is going to take, is going to replace sleep.
All right, let's see. I have a pretty long paternity leave, which is actually pretty cool. It is. So
from this podcast, I only got a week.
Our benefits are pretty. They've improved in the last 6 months. Really have.
Damn it.
And
just
so
my luck.
For most people, they don't have as long as a paternity leave as I do. So when they're off going to work, I'm going to be basically spending that time playing Red Dead Redemption 2.
I think so.
I mean, I'll try to get to know the
baby.
So
the
baby
is going to be is pretty much requires no care for that during that work
not from
hours.
Brandon.
No way. I mean, she's going to want to learn how to play the game too.
So while Kristen and her mom help the baby, then you'll just get to play games? That's pretty cool.
For the most part.
I'm sure they'll appreciate
for the most part.
Oh, they will.
That's one of my horses. I named him Bill.
Bill is your horse, too?
That's your dog.
Yeah, but I named my war horse, Bill.
Why don't you name your kid Bill?
Trust me, there were discussions.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the female version of William or Bill?
Wilhelmina. Well,
you can just call her Billy.
Willa.
Billy Lord, she's a female. That's Carrie Fisher's daughter.
Well, this is exciting.
Sounds like you're really into it, Drew.
I meant the baby.
You're going to have a baby in your butt, man.
Jack Donnelly emailed in today to tell us that he heard me talking about the Bill Murray documentary.
Yeah.
And it's about Bill just popping up all these weird places and just, you know, hanging out with complete strangers. And he took there was some girl, he was walking to the Cubs game and he saw some girl trying to buy a ticket. And he said, "Hey, you need a ticket?" And she said, "Yeah." And of course, she realizes Bill Murray. He says, "Come on with me. I got an extra."
Huh.
He sat next to her the entire game.
Whoa.
Lots of crazy things emanated from that.
Bill! Hello, Bill!
Story after story after story. So we get this email from Jack who says, "Love the show. You're just talking about Bill Murray. My friend started the clothing website company." Ooh! And I'll leave the name out just in case. I'm not sure he wants this public. "If you've seen Bill's face on any t-shirts, it's their company."
Yeah.
The Chive.
Everybody knows.
The Chive. Yeah, the Chive. Okay. That's huge.
"I heard about you talking about the fact that he doesn't have an agent. Our buddy basically did a handshake deal with Bill on using his likeness. They own the Chivery?
Yeah.
And started bringing BFM, Bill fucking Murray, shirts, and he eventually found out about it. Rather than suing or asking him for a cut, he told them to donate to his golf charity."
Nice.
The legend is true. How cool. He said, "We miss Mike. Love the show."
So is the Chive from here?
I had no idea. The Chive is a massive, massive.
Oh my
scent.
God!
Yeah, it is.
First thing in fashions are men's briefs.
Mm.
What a page that is!
Oh
my goodness.
But yeah, I see this Bill Murray sticker on the back of cars all the time. They've sold a ton of stuff with his likeness.
I have a Hulk Drew story. Let me just print it out.
Okay, and I'll tell you about what Anthony sent us. Let's see. First off, I'm sorry for the loss of Mike. He's one of the most unique people on radio. God can anoint thine buttocks for taking him from us. I was listening while you were talking about the Kiss Cruise. Cruise, K-R-U-I-S-E. I go on a lot of these cruises. This is the only way to cruise anymore. Get the drink package. It really doesn't matter what the theme is. I've been on Pitbull's cruise, the Warped Tour cruise, the Rock Boat, and all of the 311 cruises.
What? I want a full review.
Said 311 cruises are by far the best.
Ooh, all right.
Real
let's
quick,
go.
That drink package, by the way, can suck sometimes because I kept running out of drinks. They give you like a 12 drink limit.
What?
And so I would run out of drinks and then they would tell me no. And I'd say, "Well, I'll pay for it." And they say, "No."
What?
And so I'd have to steal Kristen's card and then take her drinks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Brutal.
I got drunk a lot.
Sounds like it. I went on Chris Jericho's Rockin' Rager last week. I haven't paid attention to professional wrestling since I was a kid, but this was great. The fans are really into it. Chris Jericho's band Fozzy played 3 or 4 times. They had Corey Taylor from Slipknot do an acoustic set.
Of course.
The wrestling matches in between all music sets were part of a tournament on pay-per-view. People were, of course, recording on their phones, but will get busted by security. For the most part, the artists stay on board for the entire cruise. As far as you know, John Bon Jovi's the only one not to stay on the boat.
Oh.
311 also has a photo session with you and your roommates for every room.
Ah.
Wow.
Most other cruises have a meet and greet or a Q&A set, but they all have tons of music. Great job. Love the podcast. Tony!
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's
pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Lots of videos and pictures of the 311 cruise. There's a lot of people on that, a lot of performers on that boat.
Yeah.
There's the one that's going to make you a Hulk out.
Oh, no. Very nervous.
The 311 cruise is sold out.
Corey thinks Matthew Stafford and Player Dave are audio separated at birth.
A little bit. I can hear
possible.
It.
Period.
Which means they're just a step away from Butthead and John Gosselin.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods, yeah. Period. Period.
Period.
I just broke the internet. Hey, Beavis.
I just broke the internet.
When your mother's Madonna, a renegade spirit, runs through your blood by default. But as the queen of pop's daughter, Lourdes Leone, continues to come into her own and carve out her own...
Did you read the headline?
Lourdes Leone is shattering beauty stereotypes with body hair, just like her famous mother.
Gross!
She's following in her mom's trailblazing, if not controversy-inducing footsteps. Last night at the 2018 CFDA Vogue Fashion Awards, a 22-year-old stoked the flames of regressive beauty stereotypes on the red carpet in more ways than one. For starters, there was Leone's deconstructed white luar dress, the diaphanous white bralette detail plunging fearlessly low to reveal a free-the-nipple spirit.
Yeah, you can see her boob.
Yeah. Which is not that great, by the way.
Well, and it's totally distracting because of that giant hairy armpit.
I don't think she's that pretty.
She, you know what's funny? She looks a lot like her mom.
She looks does. Like somebody.
But I think
and her, Carlos.
I want to say her mom is prettier. I mean, I think Madonna's attractive.
I think they're very similar.
I liked, like in the Desperately Seeking Susan days, I thought Madonna was way hot. She's not be my first choice. I think I'm breaking up with Madonna. I don't think I'll have Madonna.
What?
I'm not interested. If she's ever interested in me, it's too bad because I'm not interested.
That's the second one you've broken up with.
And Lourdes also, not interested. I just don't think she, I don't know. I mean, she's pretty, but just not.
You know what?
I can't believe she's
she
walking.
She would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
I can't believe she's in a fashion show.
I think she had the right idea, though, Madonna did, when she genetically engineered that.
Yeah, with Carlos Leon.
Yeah, because she picked this dude who she knew would have good genes for good-looking children.
Yeah, who would have lots of hair.
Let me see the Lourdes.
She's
picture.
Got a strong, strong eyebrows.
She looks like Sacha Baron Cohen.
Strong bush.
She's got a weird. Her face is too.
Her face looks just like Madonna.
No, she looks kind of oblong. Her head looks too oblong to me.
Her eyebrows are at least 9 inches each.
Yeah. Her eyebrows are a bummer. I think her mouth is a bummer, too. I won't have her.
Did you see that article on Chase Winovich? He went out and he just went to ask her on a date at Michigan.
Yeah.
That was a funny article,
it sounded like
too.
They went on one date.
He walked up to Trump when he was caddying a couple of years ago, when Trump was running to take a picture with him. By the end of that, he was playing video games with Barron.
Really?
Barron. He was probably 9 at the time.
Yeah, he was.
Let's see. So there was Leone's deconstructed, blah, blah, blah. Not quite so radical when you consider the drastic double standards of what women aren't allowed to do with their breasts in public. The effect was nonetheless envelope pushing when paired with soft fuzz on her bare legs and a boldly confident attitude. Oh, shut up!
It's like this.
Oh, my God.
She had a lot of hair on her arms. I like it. I like it. A lot means a big bush. I like a big bush.
Such unapologetic displays of body hair are notably reminiscent of that of Madonna, who famously tossed the razor and sported thickets of underarm hair whenever she felt like it. While Leona's becoming a force to be reckoned with. She is not a force to be reckoned with!
I gotta tell you, when I saw my first gray bush hair, I said bye.
Why is she a force to be reckoned with? What does that mean?
Well, according
I'm more than reckoned with her.
Because that story, when that line has a link to it and you click on it, it gets another Vogue article that says Lourdes Leone turns the latest Converse made me collaboration to the new cool woman's uniform. It's just a picture of her wearing some fucking outfit.
God.
So that's why she's a tourist.
I am not having any trouble reckoning with her.
I don't know. You didn't see the article.
In her own right, the feminist parallels between her and her mold-breaking mother, particularly their knack for sticking it to the patriarchy, On the night before the midterm elections is nothing if not powerful at a time when women are determinedly taking back the narrative around their bodies. What? What are you talking about?
I don't get it. Well, that kind of
Rudy, can you please explain what I just read?
I'm trying to figure out what taking back the narrative on our bodies is about.
You can look however you want.
You can.
I thought you could do that anyway.
Of course you could. But you know what? You're still going to be judged because that's what society does.
Are women really, I don't know, look, go on Instagram. Are women really shy these days? Are women her age? Are they having problems expressing themselves? Doesn't seem like it.
No.
They take a picture every 30 seconds? Half nude?
Although, what's her face was just body shamed. One of that hot model, Bella Hadid?
Yeah.
Or was it her sister? One of them. One of the
for being,
Hadids was body shamed
for being skin and
too
bones.
Skinny.
And her 70-year-old dad, it turns out, was having a 3-year affair with a 25-year-old. He's hotter than his daughter,
him.
By the way.
He used to, eat dumplings off of her midriff.
I know.
Brian Nuts Prep.
Why would that 25-year-old hottie want
he's
that
rich.
70-year-old dude? What?
He's
basically,
rich.
People
she
are
to fuck him.
Bella hell because you can see her ribs.
Gross. Oh, you can have her. She's all yours.
She's another one who is in the news every day because she's wearing
she's hot.
This.
Yeah.
So I don't think she's that hot.
What?
There's other chicks I would rather see every day if I have
Ooh.
To see a chick every day.
She's pretty hot.
Emily Radikowski, I would rather see her.
Oh, come on.
Well, you do see her every day.
And I don't,
like,
I don't want to see her every day either, but.
It's like, I'll root for the Red Sox if the Yankees are in it or something. They're both like cream of the crop.
I don't think she's a cream of the crop.
Yeah, who's better besides Emily Radikowski?
Well, no, I mean, Bella Hadid. I just don't think she's that hot. I don't need to see her picture every day.
I'll take it. I'll look
I reject her, too. If she's interested in me,
okay.
I'm not interested in her.
Dibs.
Go ahead.
I called dibs
before
you ran down.
See, they're not taking back the narrative on their bodies because their bodies are the only thing that is their narrative, and it's always being foisted on people. So
that's a good point, Trudy.
So if you want to take back the narrative, then do something cerebral and see what kind of attention
that
you
get.
That
is a great point.
It seems to me like it's just Slut City.
Well, I'm not going to stop them. Good. Let
no,
them.
I don't.
I'm glad they have the narrative.
How dare you?
Show us whatever you want to show us, man. Be slutty.
Sluts.
I, you know, we've had this conversation.
Do it.
This whole thing about social media and girls having how many likes and putting pictures up every 5 minutes.
Oh.
And we're not talking about just the biggest stars. We're talking about, you know, Kennedy and her friends and how many likes they have. And Kennedy's a pretty grounded girl. But honestly, I can imagine so many girls their age going, she had more likes than I do.
Oh, like the Jenners?
Yeah, like, God. Yeah.
Kylie? No, Kendall was
Kendall
jealous of Kylie.
Cried her eyes out because Kylie had more friends than she did. This is the bitch with 100 million Instagram followers!
I tell you, Kendall
making
can
making every teenage girl feel like shit!
Kendall can do no right from the Pepsi ad.
Oh, no, I know.
No wonder you have less friends. Janice Steinman has more friends than you, Kendall
she's
Jenner.
She's a self-made millionaire. Billionaire.
Yeah, no, that's Kylie.
Yeah,
that's
Kylie's
why Kendall's bummed. Totally middle child syndrome.
I'm starting to feel for Kendall.
Kendall's the one. Everything she touches, falls
there's
apart.
There's the shit. Was there something else besides the Pepsi? Oh, the
fire
Afro? The Fire
there's
Festival.
More. There's another one, too. The Fire Festival.
And the Afro.
Right.
Which wasn't an Afro.
It's funny, though, how she takes no responsibility for any of it. It's always someone else's fault. And she just disappears when it happens. She's like, oh, she's not available.
It's your comments about social media remind me. Did you ever watch the piece on GMA about...
No, I didn't have it, though. It's on my TV.
So what it was yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Yeah, what?
Yeah,
it
they
was
stole
yesterday.
Tuesday,
yeah, we never got... I completely forgot about it.
So they did a little experiment where... 10, 13-year-old girls gave up social media for 2 weeks.
What an experiment that is.
It was hilarious.
Scientists involved?
Yeah, the scientist was the tech reporter for GMA.
I see.
It's so funny
and
what they worry about.
Do they deeply contemplate something or...
I'm sure it's
to
very
some
deep.
Epiphany.
Well, what do you guys think? Do you think
go
it
right
a,
back out.
Do you think it had a positive result or a negative result?
I think.
Let's see.
I think they're going to say that they were all positively affected by it.
I'm going to say they probably enjoyed not thinking about it after a couple days, maybe. But they're probably really happy to be back on.
Sure.
Yeah. What do you think their fears were about giving it up? Any speculation?
Missing something.
Yeah, but something.
Not also not getting selfies out, not posting, losing followers, losing likes.
Pretty much. But there's one thing in
that's
particular.
That's sick, though.
There's
that's
one thing.
Sick.
There's one fear that just blew me away. It reminded me of Maz. Which I kind of want Maz to do this challenge.
Missing birthdays.
Somebody thinking that.
You got it.
Yeah, I was going to say somebody
got
thinking.
It.
Missing birthdays?
Happy birthday,
not giving a happy birthday?
Yes. People thinking they didn't care about them.
Yeah.
You it doesn't count up. Until it's on social media.
Social media for 2 weeks. That's a serious social
it?
Science experiment. Marin, California. 10 girls from different schools.
That's a really rich area.
8th and 9th graders who've all volunteered for a major challenge.
Oh my God, I can't believe this.
No social media for 2 weeks.
Oh God.
They mostly use Instagram and Snapchat. New research suggests that screen time is associated with anxiety in teens.
So,
and child and adolescent psychiatrist Dr. Jody Gold says a social...
Yeah, actually just put it down. Who cares what the psychiatrist has to say?
No, don't.
You want to hear the psychiatrist?
Yeah, I want to hear what the city says. This idea that it produces anxiety, this is not new. We've been hearing this for years. But it's amazing to me that nobody ever says, okay, let's have kids go on social media later. Let's do it later. I mean, it's not really up to them if they're on social media. Is it? Is it really up to them?
Well, I think once they get the phone, it's almost like there's no
stopping.
Oh, but
who buys them the phone?
Of course.
Saying
no, I agree. I mean,
I'm amazed, and I realize this is quote unquote new technology, but you know, how many people in the course of a week see someone doing something rude on a phone? Why don't we have our shit together with phones? Why don't we all know the rules?
It's still...
Why am I behind someone at the bank who is on their phone and literally the teller will not do business with them until they get off the phone and they're still on their phone wondering why the fuck the teller's staring into space.
Oh, my new favorite. Brandon, was that you that was with me? The guy that was on his Bluetooth at 7-Eleven? Talking
yes.
really loud.
Yeah, having a complete conversation in line.
All the time.
But he has no phone on him, so he's just like he's talking out loud to himself about cars.
I know. It's really funny when people do that. And I still go, what's wrong with that guy? And then I go, oh, he's on his fucking phone.
And then they give you the bad look if you answer them or you say, if they say, hey, how you doing? Oh, good. And it's like, what? I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, some loser just said hi to me. Can you believe that? Huh? Back to our conversation.
Going to be a medical impact, a sleep impact, a academic impact, and a social
okay,
and emotional
thanks for saying
impact.
The obvious.
What do you like about Instagram?
Chatting with my friends. Sometimes I feel like really inspired.
Without any prompting, though, the conversation turns to what they don't.
If there was only a way to chat with your friends without using your phone.
Like.
People just post things to make other people feel bad. You weren't invited to go to that.
Oh,
you're
you do
not
that,
on
lady.
Instagram. You kind of get nervous, like, oh, no, what if I'm missing something? If you see something of a girl whose, body is flawless, a lot of us feel like we have to, be this perfect image.
Thank
their
you.
Parents nice. Reveal their struggles.
Strive for the
I
best.
Do think she's on her phone a lot, and it's frankly pretty annoying.
My biggest frustration is just that things don't get done around the house and how many times I have to say, get off your phone, get off your phone.
Who cares about their mental development? My house isn't getting picked up. The chores aren't getting done.
I worry that Serena feels she needs to show a life that's maybe not real.
Bingo.
One concern for both parents and teens, losing the messaging functions within these apps. They're vital for making plans and arranging rides.
But you know what else does that? Actually calling or texting someone. Why do you have to use the messaging
this
app
idea that oh my God, what would I do? It's people did manage. Not that they should have to manage, but I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know why a kid can't start with a flip phone.
Yeah, well, or
do they really have to have the internet on their phone?
Or no, all you need is texting and right. the ability to make calls.
Should kids have the internet on their phone?
The kids shouldn't have
really
the internet
idea?
Anywhere, ever. Why should they have the internet?
I don't know, until maybe look stuff up for school or, I don't know.
That's
but
what
not,
the Dewey Decimal System's
it.
For.
They don't
open a real book.
They don't need the internet with them 24/7.
Yeah, but who's
they
going
don't need to be on social media. I think social media is a horrible idea for a kid, but I realize it will never stop.
Who is going to be the one?
I'm putting my foot down.
Who's going to be the one who does it, though?
Nobody.
Because everybody else
is on.
Then you're a pariah if right. you try to break it off.
I do know a couple of pariahs, and honestly, they're extremely stubborn, and they're extremely disciplined about it, and I don't think their kids actually mind after the fact. I think when it's going on, it's pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I think their kids are pretty well adjusted. Not because they weren't on social media, but I don't know. I just think I really respect the parents who said that. No, you don't need that. That's no good.
Right.
I definitely have more people on Snapchat than I do have, like, phone numbers.
Another concern, milestones.
Yeah, what am I going to do if, like, my friend has a birthday and I can't post about them because I'm going to think, like, you're
Oh, my God.
I'm so mad.
Okay, here is the...
I hope to God... All those girls had one friend who wasn't doing this challenge that had a birthday in the 2 weeks. So none of them said happy birthday.
Look at the softness.
Oh, I
challenge. 2 weeks. No social media whatsoever.
I don't care.
Delete the apps right now.
Oh my gosh.
We asked the teens to record video diaries throughout the 2 week experiment.
I've been able to just put my phone down and just listen in.
I'd actually sleep a lot better without being on my technology a lot.
A lot of people were on their phones taking videos of each other on Snapchat.
My other friends, they got to post things and it just really bummed me out.
While they said they were more productive, their newfound free time left a hole.
And instead, I just checked the weather.
After 2 weeks, they reinstalled the apps.
Whoa, it's a lot to look at. I'm glad that I have it back, but I'm a little bit hesitant.
And we gather to talk through the results.
So how'd it go?
Good.
It was good.
It was great.
It felt amazing. Normal.
Show of hands.
Felt
who
normal.
Thinks they slept better?
All of them.
Who got into fewer arguments with their parents? They said they felt a little out of the loop.
I missed out on so much. I didn't know Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande broke up. I didn't know.
And when they hung out with...
She didn't know that Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande broke up.
Friends not part of the experiment?
Oh, they'd be sitting there and they'd be sending each other pictures. And then I was there and I was like, oh, guys, like, why don't we do something? And I was just kind of like, you know, you guys were getting off
our phones.
And we would just like listen to music and talk. And we had like so much fun, actually. And I learned so much about them.
The upside of taking a break from social media is that you have so much more time to do your homework, to eat dinner with your family, and to be mindful of your experiences.
Whatever.
In the end, every participant was happy to be a part of our challenge, citing plans to be more vigilant about their social media use and being more present in real life.
Well, I'm definitely going to try to monitor myself because I just know it's like a really bad habit.
I definitely want to be more cautious when I'm on it. And it also showed me that I don't need social media at all. I did perfectly fine for 2 weeks without it.
I've fought so much less with my parents. I've gotten so much more done. And I also felt like it kind of like, in a good way, made me feel like I was a little kid again. I felt like it kind of made me feel like, you know, not worrying about stuff as much.
A lot of social media, honey.
Twitter's what's destroying this country anyway.
You're right, Coach. Coach Gundy is right.
Jeez.
But they're back on it.
Oh, yeah. Wishing everyone happy birthday. Why is that so necessary?
I feel kind of like a jerk, though, because a lot of times, you know, my birthday comes and I get a shit ton of people who post and they go, oh, happy birthday, and then I never do it in return. So, like, that day on my birthday, I kind of feel bad about it.
Well, I think
you're letting social media affect
you'll become your known for it. Like, I never send out Christmas cards, and I'm known for it now. It's something else people think about me at that time of year. I know I won't get a card from him. And most of them still send me cards, which is really nice. So, separate you from the pack. That's
funny. Fine, you're not getting one this year.
Oh.
I've noticed that somehow I have dropped off a few lists.
Yeah. I already got one.
What?
It was from the... A woman.
A Christmas card? Was she late by 11 months?
No, I'm just her client, so of course, you know.
Whoa.
Man, that's insane.
I know,
it was a little early.
WNIC did a poll, I think, on Facebook about, should we start Christmas music now, after Halloween? And then I think I don't know what.
Wait a second.
It's Maz's favorite song.
They must be playing it now already.
I'm sure they are. I heard it in...
Oh, Lord.
Did I hear Christmas song in Dr. Roche's office? I think I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Once again, if it's so
great. 'Tis the season to get my jollies. Fa la 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 la.
If it's so great, play it all year then.
Yeah. WNIC's got to be playing Christmas music.
Well, here, let's listen in live.
Oh. And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white.
Oh, is that an WNIC?
That's their new sweeper. No, it's
and by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white.
Their new sweeper. I love that idea.
Every 15 minutes.
WNIC.
Santa is white.
Jay Towers is still the boarding guy.
WNIC. Yeah, he is. If you go to their website.
Is Allison done with them, I believe?
Who?
Allison?
Bell?
Allison.
I have no idea. Is she?
I think so.
Smart hire.
Yeah, absolutely.
After Blaine had her blown out.
I know. Evil Blaine. Oh, my God, he's so mean.
He's blown out. He'd fire Tom if he could. No, they're playing Africa by Weezer right now.
No, that's perfect. That's a good tease for Steve Lukather tomorrow on Mazday.
At least that's what it says they're doing.
Trudy will be recovering from Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Anyway.
Tonight.
Mm-hmm. And pre-meal at Mesa. Is that true?
Yay! Yeah, I guess.
Sweet.
Get there at 6:30.
Cool.
We're going to do a meet.
Your zesty Mexican margaritas and bean burritos will have you heading south of the border. Adios, everyone.
God, Trudy has an extra ticket. I'm so tempted to go. I'm still tempted. Why can't I bring myself to go to Kenny Wayne Shepherd? It's a Tuesday night.
It's not far away.
I know. It's really close.
Do you want to watch Election Returns?
Mm. Oh, I forgot about that.
Could be.
No, I don't want to watch that.
Kenny
Wayne
Shepherd is much better
that.
Than watching Election Returns.
Election Returns are live tomorrow. TV. I mean, there's something sort of fun about that. Yeah, it's fun and
I like
stupid.
Watching it, although I was telling Trudy that, who's the guy that's driving me nuts? Tom Yamas.
Oh, yeah.
Have you noticed Tom Yamas every morning on GMA?
Which guy is he?
He's the very well-dressed man.
I would
Good
never
America.
Be able to pick him out. Although I also recognize him when they say it, and I know it.
He gets a boner over all their new technology. Every day they've done a story.
Oh, is he always circling stuff and pushing buttons?
Yes!
And
he's just showing you how the shit works.
This dude. Yeah, that's
why. Why do they still get off on doing that?
Because they want to show you their new technology so you watch them instead of...
I mean, isn't it Chuck Todd that has the little blackboard that he...
They all
on.
Do. They all have something.
Technology.
But wait till you see
the
what
little
Yamas...
board is just a pen and a board, and that seems to be...
That looks like futuristic, beautiful stuff.
Well, one of the most memorable ones was Tim Russert and the little whiteboard that he wrote Florida.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
On. Yeah.
I miss Tim Russert.
I know, he's great. Where's Luke, by the way? Luke Russert. Luke's blown out! He's
maybe,
so blown out.
You can join Megyn Kelly and... Oh God! Why can't I? Think
oh,
of Matt Lauer.
Matt Lauer. Yeah, they're in talks.
Their exile show.
They're in talks to do a show. Oh, here's Yamas.
Jesus, it was a white man too.
Watch Yamas get a boner here about all their new technology.
Oh God, these people, get over yourself.
Yeah, but look at all this fun stuff he's got, all these buttons he can press.
God. That's because Republicans are the party in power. Now, we've
like
identified
a
60-inch more than 100 key races. These are competitive races.
Button.
We believe this is where the House is going to be won or lost.
I bet.
And you can see there's all types of clusters in New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Florida. These are key districts we're watching here.
Stuff.
But even in some red states like Kentucky, Kansas, and Texas.
Right, let me show you where he really gets
Yamas.
A boner. Yamas. There's an even bigger screen with the same thing on it.
All right. As the data comes in, we
will
be able to break down
the stairs.
Look at, there's their studio. Whoa!
To show you. So let's take a look at what's at stake in this election. All 435 House seats are up for grabs.
Yeah, I think he explained what it was, too.
Now, President Trump is not on the ballot, but this election very much is a referendum on President Trump. And as the data comes in, we will be able to break it down with the help of a 3D model. Similar to the ones I'm about to show you. So let's take a look at what's at
stake in this
election.
Why do you need a 3D model to break down the election results?
Did you notice it also powered up like the Hall Financial Hotline?
Which we didn't power up today. Shit.
Oh,
years.
No.
In the Senate, the Democrats are on defense. They need to gain just two
That's
seats.
A lot of studio space
more.
For nothing.
800,000 new voters signed up on national registration.
How excited
day back
is about
in
all his toys.
It sounds like they're hot. Oh, is that our hotline powering up?
Yeah.
Hall Financial, click the link to Hall Financial, and they will be happy to crunch numbers for you if you want to, refinance, shorten the length of your loan, or maybe you'd like to originate a new loan, and if that's the case, you could get a free appraisal from Hall Financial for opening a conventional loan. So there you go, Hall Financial.
So they're all going to go overboard with all their technology and stuff.
Oh, my God, was that intense? Yeah.
Did you see the judge who had to resign already?
Oh, yeah. Well, the election judge.
The election
yeah,
judge.
Yeah, which is
oh, for screaming at a voter. Do we have the audio for screaming at the voter?
I think so.
Get out! Get out! Get out! You are rude. You are not following the law.
That's the voice of a Williamson County election supervisor and judge, Lila Guzman, screaming at a woman who was confused about where she could vote.
You must leave the polling
station. Get out of here.
As soon as she started getting louder, I was like, this is getting
What'd she do wrong?
So I began to record.
The wrong place. The confrontation happened Friday afternoon
she was
at the Williamson County
annex. Well, then what's wrong
with telling
her to get out? She's in the wrong place.
She wanted to know where Obama's name was on the ballot.
But she says Guzman was unnecessarily rude to that voter.
The lady did have an accent. She could have been moved to the country. I don't know, but she needed some help.
Get out of its way.
That's not something that we ever train our poll workers, supervisors, election judges, and clerks to do.
Williamson County Elections Administrator Chris Davis regrets what happened and says the situation should have been handled differently.
It was the end of the day, and we were seeing pretty steady turnout across our sites. But again, no excuse. It's our job to get voters their answers and help them vote either at our site or at a site where they need to vote.
Davis says Guzman has since
resigned. I like how they took a video of someone yelling at someone to get out and made it into a three-minute story.
Wow.
Who cares?
She violated the cell phone law, too.
Can you back up that exit poll? I just have to read something because it's blowing my mind what I just saw. They said was recent extremist paper extremist behavior, as in, I guess, the pipe bombs and the
synagogue shooting.
In your vote today, was recent extremist violence the most important factor? The most important factor in your vote, I assume. 25% said yes. The second one was very important. It was 51%. The two extremist events? People are voting at those kind of percentages on those two events?
Well, those two events, you know, precipitated whatever change of mind they had. Yeah.
If your vote, how you considered, how important was this recent extremist violence that we've seen? Take a look at this. 51% of voters call it an important factor, and 25% call it the most important factor. So this was clearly on people's mind. And here is also another hard truth we found about America.
Most important
when we asked folks today
factor
about whether or not we're more united as a nation.
Just pause for a second. The reason I'm laughing about it is just think of all of the policy making, all of the things that run this country, and these two crazy events are to 25% the most important factor in their vote?
That's a gauzy way of saying, do you hate Trump for riling people up? Isn't it?
Got people to go out and vote for his side. I mean, it could work both ways.
Oh, because they were pro-violence?
I was thinking there's probably a little of both, or
it's
maybe
probably
more of one. But the most important... What? Two fucking crazed individuals?
What actually gets people to get out of their house and go vote is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doubting it. Well, I am doubting. I'm kind of doubting most polls in general, but I'm really curious to see how they come out and compared to...
Exit polls are pretty good, though. I mean, they're
exit
actually
polls
sitting
are usually
there
pretty good.
Asking them after they voted.
But
now,
then they show you something else that says, you know, they'll show you three more polls, and you go, wait, I thought that was 25% the most important factor, but then you're showing... I mean, the numbers sometimes seem a little strange. Or like, how can it be this if it was that?
What do you think the over-under is on number of panelists on CNN tonight? 13? Is there going to be more or less than 13? Because they always have that giant table, and they're all sitting at it like some kind of Supreme Court. It's hilarious.
I don't think your over-under number is very... I think it's a pretty good number.
I bet you it'll be nine. It'll be nine people with...
I'd say...
Well, look at that right
they
there.
Got eight right there. There's already eight. There's got to be at least 11 tonight. They got to add at least three to that.
Yeah. That's hilarious, and nobody says anything.
Does anyone like Anderson Cooper, by the way? Is he popular? I really don't know.
I don't have a problem with him.
Really? I find him really annoying sometimes.
Why?
I don't know. He's so dramatic.
Yeah.
Doesn't he engage you with his blue
steely
eyes?
Steely blue eyes.
Oh, I know. Well,
white
pubes. Actually, I will say, that adds to my problem with him. He thinks he's hot.
What's up, Silver Fox?
I believe he's got a real young boyfriend now.
Yeah.
He works
out, and
he also puts like weightlifting stuff on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Him
and Chris?
Pictures. Yeah, he's very into it.
Oh, so Cuomo's going to be out there,
I think, right? He thinks he's hotter than he is. And there are very few crimes I consider greater than that.
Who's that?
But I have CNN on a lot at night after the show ends when he comes on, and oh my God, can he be dramatic?
He's had the same boyfriend for a while. This isn't a young dude.
Well, new to me. Oh, wait, there he is with his shirt off. Somebody with a shirt off there. Who's that?
That's not Anderson.
His boyfriend.
Oh.
Oh, well, hot.
Quite.
He's quite buff.
He goes out and gets hot.
Think him and Don Lemon ever double date?
Because
Don Lemon's gay too, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Don Lemon, squeezy, keep it easy.
Is Cuomo gay? Is every night anchor on CNN gay?
I bet Chris Cuomo is, I bet he, I would predict he would be a hard woman chaser.
He's pounding pussy all the time.
I bet he is.
No, this is Cuomo's wife right here.
He's deeply in love with himself.
Yes. Yeah,
I don't think he has much love left for anyone else.
What's
although his wife is hot.
My boyfriend just said.
What's the name of his assistant that he yells at?
Rose.
All
Rose. Yeah, and the weightlifting videos and the shirtless stuff. Oh my God,
his wife's kind of hot.
Oh yeah,
very
she's hot.
Hot.
Yeah.
What?
It's gorgeous.
I don't know though.
He's Mario Cuomo's kid.
Her choice in men is a little suspicious.
I would agree.
Hi, Mario.
Early exit poll. 75% say extremist violence is important to their vote. 75%.
Okay.
Of the stuff that led up to that.
Somebody just walked up and said, hey, is extremist violence important to your vote? Yeah.
Well, look at the headlines, though. I mean, they're implying that it, you know, hey, extremist violence is the number one thing.
Yeah.
75%.
Was that what it said? Number one thing?
It says early exit poll. 75% see extremist violence as important to their vote.
I love how that guy still stays in the loop.
Gergen. Yeah.
It was actually 76%.
He's about to
die.
Okay.
Yeah, but their graphic is incorrect.
Oh, minutes away from first midterm. I'm getting kind of pumped about this. It's election night. I can't believe it's hitting me.
I know it's nerdy. I actually like watching the returns.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I don't know why. I think it's because living through 2000, that was pretty exciting.
That was interesting. 2016 was interesting. There's no way around it. I mean, when it started looking like, I remember thinking, wait a second, Trump can win? I was so shocked. And rarely are you shocked on election night. And then seeing all the anchors practically crying when he won. That was kind of funny, I have to admit. Oh, is this our election night music? Celebration.
It's Obama.
I kind of prefer Ladies' Night if we're listening to Cool in the Gang.
Oh, well, it could apply.
It could be Ladies' Night.
It could be Ladies' Night.
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
They just threw some big number up. I don't remember what the number was, but it was like maybe 30% said electing women and minorities is important.
I wanted Hillary Clinton for president.
So I guess there's a lot of things that are important.
They call that the pink wave, but I feel insulted by that.
The pink wave?
I kind of feel insulted by that.
I wouldn't like that either.
We all know it's a crimson wave.
Celebrate good Obama coming. It's Obama, Obama.
Oh, man.
Randy.
That's great.
Yikes. And then there's this other video I know that we had queued up. I'm not sure if you wanted to.
Yeah, there's my girl.
This one. Burger King.
She's a black Burger King worker, and she yells at this woman for being a white bitch, but she's Hispanic.
Well, I had a Filipino friend that got called the N-word once, so that was fun.
Say it again.
Fuck you, you white piece of shit.
Thank you.
We're not even white.
We're Hispanic.
Get it right.
Get your racism right.
Get it right. That's hilarious.
It's hard to give you your money back, white fat bitch. I don't care. You know what? At least I'm not working at Burger King like you.
Bitch, that's not nice. Parents.
I go to school. This job, the money I make, it's to blow up.
Yeah, right.
So we're asking for a refund because your manager was touching her cell phone.
Touching the cell phone.
So it has nothing to do with you. I don't even know why you're getting upset for.
Hey, why do they want a refund?
You gave me the refund?
She thought the food had germs on it.
Is she really that concerned with her health?
Apparently.
Okay.
The other guy at the window seems really bummed.
Oh, that chick?
Is that a chick?
That's the chick. That's the manager, I think.
Chick?
Yeah,
that's
the manager.
I think she is very bummed, like she's wishing that her coworker was not.
Yeah, I think she's wishing she didn't touch her cell phone.
That too, yeah.
Why is she on her fucking cell phone anyway while you're working?
I know.
What does she think she is, Tom Mazzaway?
Maybe she was checking in on another employee that was supposed to come into work and was late. I don't know.
Stay away from the food. Keep your germy cell phone away from the food, bitch.
It's assuming that her phone is so germful.
Oh, I think it's. I bet if we had
sure
her phone tested, we would find frightening.
There's fecal matter on it, without a doubt.
Oh yeah, no question. Always.
Fecal matter
in every phone.
Bill Gates wants to get a hold of.
Oh, that's right. He does.
He's obsessed with feces right now, Bill and Melinda.
He just
Gates.
Spent $200 million to combat feces.
Why didn't he just get
He and Melinda Gates.
That's right.
Did. It's the Bill and Melinda Gates new toilet.
What
which
if they're
doesn't
both
use water, by the way?
What if they're both just really into anal? This was their end game the whole time. They're scat freaks.
But the thing about that is that it is really no different than conventional septic tanks, right? So
yeah, it's just on a smaller. It's also no different.
There's no plumbing involved in their toilet. It's got chemicals. It breaks down the feces.
Yeah, like a septic tank.
Yeah.
That's where you go to drain your lizard.
Meanwhile, Spranger wants to have fecal eating worms, and everyone thinks she's fucking nuts. But Bill Gates doesn't. And they're about to blow him.
I'm personally not interested in the new toilet.
What?
I have no interest.
I got worms.
It went right over my head.
You're just not. You're not bowled over by anything at all. What about Idris Elba?
Yeah. Who's that?
Sexiest man alive, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who's that?
Yeah, he's the sexiest man alive. I have more power.
People's sexiest man alive.
Robin was so excited about it on GMA. She, yeah. I think, I almost was thinking she needed a cushion change for a minute, and then
what?
I had to think about it.
Does she know he has a penis?
She was just very happy about it. I don't know why.
Why? Because let me guess. She knows him.
Maybe she knows somebody who's bi who really likes him. I don't know.
He's a black guy. Ooh, fun.
How ridiculous.
This was the dude. This is the dude that a couple months ago they said that he might be the next James Bond.
Oh, that's right. All right.
And so I didn't see too much of a backlash on that or anything, but since then he's confirmed he's not going to be Bond.
Who is going to be Bond?
I don't know.
Did Michael Jackson want to be Bond?
Wait, what happened to the current Bond? What's his face?
Craig?
Yeah, Craig.
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 Danny Craig.
Danny Craig, yeah.
Danny.
I think he's doing one more Bond.
Daniel.
He always says, I'm going to squeeze one more Bond out, and then he
That just means he's going to the bathroom.
I think he's a great Bond, I do like him as Bond. The movie Layer Cake was, I used to love that movie.
Oh, right.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Well, people gave him shit because he was blonde. Oh, my God, a blonde Bond, and they couldn't believe it. Latest I've seen, though, is the dude from Game of Thrones, Robb Stark, the guy who played Robb Stark.
Of course.
Yeah. They might want to put him, not Jon Snow, Robb Stark.
Oh, it should be Jon Snow, but
he might be the
Robb is.
Well,
Kristen still yells at me. I had to watch him. I had to watch A Star Is Born this past weekend.
Oh.
Kristen said, "It's my turn. I get to pick." And I said, "No. It's my turn." She goes, "Yeah, but," and she started rattling off all the movies we've seen lately, and they've all been my choices and stuff. And then she ends up telling me that I owe her because of some movies that I'd taken to her in the past that really sucked, including a James Bond movie, and I took her to see that.
Hey, what James Bond movie sucked?
I don't think she liked...
That doesn't mean it sucked.
I don't think she liked... No, I liked it. It was Quantum of Solace, maybe? Or the second one with... Craig! The second one with Craig. And then she always hates that I took her to see The Eagle on Valentine's Day in 2011.
The Eagle.
Yeah.
What's that?
About the Olympian guy?
It's about some dude in England in like 1400.
Oh, Lord.
I agree. Oh, you owe her big time.
Yeah.
Maybe
no
even
electricity.
Earlier than that. It might be like 200
centuries.
They're
before
not even
electricity.
Close to electricity.
Yeah. And it's it wasn't a good movie. I took her to it and I said, "Hey, it's got Channing Tatum. You like that dude?" And
Channing Tatum.
It was a pretty boring
movie. What was the other movie that she wanted to see recently, but you tricked her to going to another one? What was that one?
I know the movie that I tricked her to seeing was White Boy Rick.
Oh, that's right.
But I can't remember
what she wanted
to see. Yeah, she liked White Boy Rick. I don't remember what she wanted to see that weekend. It was something terrible.
So whose turn is it next?
Something terrible.
It's my turn next. I just saw A Star Is Born.
It's always your turn.
Yeah, but you just did, like, you had like 50 in a row. I think she gets to pick a few now.
Early results from Twitter poll, breaking news. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the worst person ever? Angelina Jolie at 93%.
Oh!
Brad Pitt only 7%.
Wow.
Oh, see, everybody loves him. He's sympathetic.
Let's see what some of the comments are.
Maddox would have won.
Maddox. He's a tyrant.
Let me guess. Tom Mazzaway thinks Brad Pitt is the worst, and once again, Mark is insisting on correcting him. Tom.
What's in the box?
Tom, I'm not even there.
What's in the fucking box?
Dan Evans, what? It's Tuesday. I switched with Trudy this week.
Oh, Lord.
Claude Lemieux. All the above. Both fucking whack jobs. Best new feature of the podcast. Out of context polls. I'm so in love with my brother. Maddox.
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
All right.
Maddox would have wailed. First time I've ever voted in a Twitter poll. Just such an easy choice. My mom. Brad at his hottest. Not even a little close. Jolie all the way. What, did Adolf Hitler at least make the final four? Where's the Donald Trump selection? All right, get us out of here, Brandon. Trudy's got a concert to go to.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I haven't been to a concert.
Do you remember what to do?
No.
What was your last show?
It was Steven Tyler.
That was your last
concert?
Yeah.
What happened to you?
And then Paul, oh, God.
Paul.
No, wait, Steve Winwood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Winwood.
That sounds cool. Just pissed I didn't go to that show.
Steve. Oh, whatever. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to meet Craig Johnson, who's the winner.
Craiger.
Tickets to the show and the CD.
Oh, you got to buy him a beer, too.
I got to buy him a beer. And he's also going to get a backstage.
Try to make him nervous for backstage because I want something memorable to happen backstage. Something memorable, nervous, crazy kind of. Okay. Not like anybody gets hurt. Tell me sort of some awkward, weird.
Make up some kind of urban legend about Kenny Wayne and see if I'll ask him about it.
Oh, that he demands some sort of. Like you have to exchange.
Like when Joanna asked somebody about baby arm. Do you remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, what?
Huh?
I don't want to say what it is. There was a rumor that his dick was as big as a baby's arm.
Oh.
And she asked him. Do you remember that, Brandon? I don't want to say what it is. But she went up and asked him. More power to her.
I shut off the mic so you can say.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll tell you as soon as the song's done. I'll show you a picture of him, too.
Oh.
Steve Lukather from Toto tomorrow.
That's Steve Lukather.
Along with Thomas A. Mazoy from St. Clair Shores, Michigan. Have a great night. Be sure to vote.
Bye, Brandon.